Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
It's come down to this. 100 laps, 5 to go at the line. 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number 1. They start to fan out. Coming off a 2. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4. White flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers. Anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out. 2 by 2. 3 wide coming off the turn number 2. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top, trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4, there's still 2 by 2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 Check, check, check. Hello.
What are you checking, your ears or your mouth?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Folks, you're listening to Inside Florida Racing, and you're listening to Bonehead. You haven't heard my voice in a couple weeks.
I'm talking to Bill Green from the sick bed.
Your microphone's not on.
I tried to tell him but he doesn't listen to me.
Bill Green from his sick bed.
Bill Green? Is he sick?
Yeah, buddy. How you doing, Bill?
Is he feeling green? Bill? Bill? Bill, are you there?
I don't think he's up and on the line.
Oh.
I think he's just on the cell.
Welcome, everybody, to Inside Florida Racing. We have Bonehead Rob Elting here, Cece Brooks.
Hello.
Jack Smith and Carol Wicks. We got a pretty good guest lineup tonight.
Musical. We have a musical guest.
Well, with a
musical
with
guest.
With a host set up like this, we better have a good...
Jack's auditioning for a harmonica spot on the Johnny Carson show or something. Put your earphones on. We have with us tonight John Tenney, who is not only a race car driver, but a big Carnackian.
A Carnackian?
Carnackian, yes.
Yeah.
Doug Heverin and Don Heckman. And the infamous Robbie Cooper will be with us. And Gary LaPlante, talking about the Hatfield and McCoy show that's coming up.
Ooh, looking forward to that.
Yeah, see, your mic's not working, I told you. Don't forget, we're also going to be doing talking to all of our local racetracks.
Yes.
What do we decide to call that?
Not only that.
Is that the speed round or the lightning round? What do we call
it? Oh, I like the speed round.
We're going to speed round,
I like that.
Don't talk too loud over there. Go ahead, Jack.
We're going to East Bay. We're going to Orlando. We're going to Ocala. We're going to Charlotte County Motorsports Park. We're going to New Smyrna. We're going to Auburndale. And we're going to go back to East Bay.
I'm tired already.
We're going to go back to East Bay twice? It was that good, huh?
It was that good.
What'd you say there was?
Oh, by the way, wait a minute. This microphone just is not right. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, you finally sound right.
So,
I think it's just him.
I got a bone to pick with you, Bonehead.
Hit it, man. Oop. Don't hit me, but hit it.
Now, from what I understand, you caused a bit of commotion the last time you took your what's your car number again? What late model do you drive with a target on it?
27.
27. Last time you took that 27 out to Charlotte County Motorsports Park, you created quite a stir.
No,
and I think that you owe your fans, our fans, and my fans an explanation.
I
and
will.
It better be a damn good one.
I will explain, and I won't curse like you. I've had a couple weeks to think about it, and it's amazing how the wrong word gets around, you know, because I get calls like from Randy Fox the next day asking me, hey, Brett, took six cop cars to pull you and Phil Morrison off each other. Me and Phil Morrison never got in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rumor.
Boo.
We might have had a little argument between drivers or whatever, but, you know, I like Phil. I have nothing against him. You know, had nothing about between us. It was had to do with the decision that was made on that rainy night, of which, you know, maybe we all should have just gone home when it rained. Maybe we shouldn't, you know. They decided to race. They said they were going to do one thing.
This don't finished. Sound like no Jimmy Swaggart apology to me.
And well, I'll get to it. And when the race was finished, there was a disagreement between, you know, us and the officials. And then in the disagreement, a few people got cursed out, some by me, some by others. So I'm here to apologize to anybody out there that I offended. Phil Morrison, the officials at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, I'm not going to name them. They know who they are. Bobby Deal, you know, if I offended you in any way, I wasn't mean to Linda, of course. I never would be. But, you know, I would never not go back to Charlotte County Motorsports Park, you know, upon contrary thinking that, you know, people have called me and said, well, I heard you're not going to do this, you're going to do that. It has nothing to do with that. I appreciate the racetrack being there.
You know, you're pregnant, aren't you?
Yes, I'm pregnant, fixing to have a baby here.
And you carry it so well, Ron.
Yes. So, you know, so if Bonehead's not there on the 13th, it has nothing to do. What happened?
Everything's fine. Go ahead.
No, it's not. No, we have no mics.
Oh, mics.
But, yeah, we have mics, but we just don't have any hearing. But that's fine. So I want everybody to know that if Bonehead's not there, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. It just has to do with it. We
baby.
Are expecting. Yeah, it's going to be coming. But I may be there, you know, and I encourage people to come out there and race it, you know, at Charlotte County or at any track that has a super late model race. If you've got one, bring it out. You know, I know it's getting more and more expensive to drive them, but there again, I'm officially apologizing for my behavior there on the racetrack to my fans, to the drivers, sponsors, you know, anybody that was there listening. You know, it shouldn't have gone that far, and you know, it's because I have a lot of things going on. You know, I'm not going to put any. There's no reason for it. You know, that would be valid. But if I could put anything to it, it's just that I needed money that night.
And it was a very long day for the drivers, getting to the track early, and then the rain delay and everything. It just made it for a very long, frustrating day and evening for y'all.
I know, and for Bobby too, I'm sure, and for all the
and track for everybody, officials. For the fans, and
I've talked to Don Van Acker since then. You know, he's the corner worker there, and you know, we talked about several things during that night. I'm the one that took my car out there to dry the racetrack off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
weren't you the only one of the super late models to go out
I
there?
I was, and I'll tell you, the whole reason why I wanted to race when we had the meeting was because the fans that had stayed there all that night were down there with their thumbs up. They were all excited.
This
so
is confessions I went of down a race car driver.
I went down there and told a couple guys that's why, you know, basically I wanted to race. Because some of them guys didn't want to race. They wanted to, you know, to go ahead and pack up. And
Carol,
and there were other
Carol,
ones that
Carol,
wanted
do you
to.
Think that was sufficient?
I think that was sufficient. It takes a big man to say, I'm sorry. You said, I'm sorry. We forgive you.
Okay, now let's go on. Let's go on and not talk about that anymore because it's going to make me sad.
Oh, I don't want to see Bonehead cry. Move on.
That shirt he's got on does not need to be wet.
Yes,
it does. You know what Ocala Speedway owner Mike Peters did this Saturday night?
Oh, Friday.
What'd he do?
Now, you know, they don't race on Saturday night at Ocala. They race on Friday night. So,
say it.
I know
he
what
brought
he
his
did.
Harley down to East Bay Raceway Park for the custom Harley show there. They had the Born to Ride folks out with the TV deal and the magazine deal, and they were filming for their TV show. And so Mike brought his Harley down and entered it in the custom bike show. And it was pretty cool. You know, he has a bike.
It's beautiful.
His bike is actually, he built it himself. He took a old, like, cop motorcycle, and built his own bike, and it still has the siren switch.
That'll get you in trouble.
Well, that's what he did.
that reminds me, hearing the Hello Moto Japanese name there, I wanted to say to Rick out there, I definitely stand corrected. that it's not the Chinese that are ruining everything, that it's the Japanese that have taken over the car market. And Rick was quick to straighten me out on that on the Karnak message board. But I will say that I have joined the Karnak message board officially as Bonehead.
Were you on the Real Race in USA message board or the Karnak message board?
Yeah, at this point, I'm not that good on there to know the difference. But
is it the blue one or the red one?
It's the new one.
That's the blue zone. See, just like America is divided up between the blue states and the red states, we divided up this whole racing deal between the blue states and the red states. So the blue states, that's the blue site is the Real Race in USA site.
Is that the Republicans?
What? No, it's the more refined.
Let's not drag politics into this.
Talk politics. We're not going to get there.
She can't talk politics. Did you get the cake, Carol?
I got the doggone cake.
All right, we're going to have cake tonight.
So they had a packed house at East Bay Raceway.
Oh, by the way,
Tell me about the East Bay Raceway. I want to know about it.
Well, I'll tell you, man. If you go on, there's a lot of photographs and some video and some audio and whatnot on Karnak.com and Real Racing USA. There's photo galleries and so forth. Lots of photographs. Also, if you go to BornToRide.com, they have like 450 photographs that I think her name is Valerie took, and they had a packed house. The place was full. I mean, it was just tons of people. They had 30 late models show up for 24 starting spots. And Roger Krause, he won the modified feature and the late model feature. And I'll tell you, man, you know, we were talking about figure eights last week, you know, on this show and how exciting that was. You know, I'll tell you, man, it's tough to beat those late models on dirt, especially at East Bay Race.
Yeah, they are definitely a sight to see if you've never seen somebody jack a left front tire up about 3 or 4 feet.
Oh, they go around the turns and their tires are up. It's amazing. It is so much fun.
Especially if the track's a little wet.
When I was out of the room, did you mention that we have all these photo galleries on Real Racing USA and they can see these beautiful motorcycles?
Yeah, there's a lot of those bikes on there. Yeah, there's a lot of bikes on there.
I saw Terry Scampton's got a Harley. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got that little sidecar, man. He's got the blue bullet, man.
So what else did you see over there? What kind of show did they put on? How'd it look? How'd everything look when you were looking at it?
Oh,
the race, standing back, the people.
I would tell you this. I would think that there's nobody, I'll put it this way, there's nobody in this state that has a better format and how they do the show and how they present racing to the public than East Bay Raceway.
That's a very powerful statement, sir. But nobody, I guess if they can back it up.
Nobody does it better. I mean, not to say that there's a lot of the tracks that do a good job at that. Of course, New Smyrna and DeSoto at some of their bigger events. But I'm just saying on a weekly basis, I mean, come on, man. Last week they had 34 late models show up for those 24 spots. This week they had 30. And, you know,
did they run any sprint cars?
No, they ran modifieds and open wheel or modifieds, and they have the late models and the street stocks. And
you know who we need to have on the show is old Crazy Gene Lasker. Does he still race sprint cars there, or they run him out of there?
Well, Kathy, who is a big fan of this show, she said it was like watching 700 horsepower bumper cars.
So I guess they were beating and banging on each other.
That's what late model racing is, part of what makes it so exciting. They can.
You're right. It is definitely different on the dirt than on the asphalt when it comes to that kind of stuff. And the cars, they run so close together and their bodies roll off the cars that they look like they're kind of rolled on top of each other sometimes, you know, when they're racing. But there is, that's one of the most exciting races that you can watch. There's no doubt a really good super late model there on the dirt. You know, not a limited late model on the dirt, but one of those guys with them big motors in there. How much them guys spend on their motors?
I don't know.
$50,000 on a motor?
I don't know.
That's big racing.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's big racing because they got like 3 or 4 of them inside their trailer.
We're definitely going to have to do a road trip. I need to go to go and look at watch these races on dirt.
Yes, I think you'd have a good time there. I mean,
you definitely want to go to East Bay. It is. Yeah. I told you, I'll take you next
check,
time I go.
Check, to plan a road trip.
Check this out. Let's see if we got this. Check this out.
Check this out, folks.
Okay.
If you can see this.
Bud Light presents.
Oh, that's not real. That's not the one. That's not the one.
He must have an interview with some drivers, maybe. Is that what you're trying to sneak in?
He's thirsty. We are here at East Bay Raceway Park with Scott McAllister. Scott, what kind of thrill was this, man? It's really a thrill that you can't describe. You got to come out here and be a part of it. You got to feel it. You got to feel these cars coming thundering around this track. I only regret that it took me this long to come out here because this is fantastic. I've had a blast. Gonna be back soon. I can't wait to come back, and I hope I get to come back each and every time they come out here and race, because it's just something you want to be a part of. If you haven't been to a racetrack, this is the one you want to come out and see. If you have been to a racetrack, make sure you put this on your schedule, because East Bay Raceway Park, unbelievable racing. The competition, second to none. Scott, are you losing your voice, man? I'm jacked up, man. I'm like, okay.
Talk
Scott
about a voice.
Scott had been brought down by Todd Hutto and Al Varnador to be an extra special, a guest announcer to help the other guys. He has a way of jacking up the crowd, you know.
Was that you doing that interview?
Yeah.
Why was your voice so high?
Somebody kicked him.
Somebody have a hold of you?
I don't know, man. I was probably out of breath at that point. I don't know.
Jacked up.
That was pretty wild.
That's why they call him Jack.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Well, you know, the weather was great Saturday night for racing.
Oh, wasn't it beautiful?
And it was, I was so pleased. It was really comfortable to be out there. I hope it was that way for all the tracks throughout the state, that everybody enjoyed the good weather.
According to somebody that I talked to today, there was a couple tracks that got some rain outs. Volusia being one of them. What else? Hey, Koss.
What, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not
Who
sure.
else got rained out?
I'm not sure. I was told that actually the only way I believe that's what Jerry Benner, who I ran into at East Bay Raceway, said he had went to Volusia and they got rained out and he drove across the state to East Bay. If I'm not mistaken, that's what he told me.
Well, all right. Well, you have to accept that then.
Jerry was so shocked to see me at East Bay. He says, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I stopped by to get some beer, Jerry." No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, what were you doing in Tampa?
I tell you what, it was pretty cool. That was the whole point of Todd Hutto and them guys putting that together was they wanted to try that. And these are the kinds of things they've been doing. We talked to Todd last week. They're trying to like mix up some, expand the crowd and the biking community. The riders is like a perfect thing, and they had the big deal there with the custom bike show, and about 40 or so, 50 bikes, something like that, came out, and.
Well, Born to Ride, they're big in that.
Yeah, and they actually it was very cool because I ran into two guys who are big Harley riders. You know, they do every weekend. That's what they're out doing. And I hadn't seen these two of my friends. I hadn't seen in 7 or 8 years from back when I used to be up in the Bradenton area. And so there was a lot of people running into each other they hadn't seen in a while. It was kind of cool.
I guess we could talk a little bit about the limited late model race we saw.
Well, oh, that was a
because
great
that's
race,
where we
Carol.
Were. Was that not exciting?
It was very, very exciting.
There was a cat and dog race between Randy Fox and Joe Winchell, and that was pretty exciting. But then,
who was the cat?
I'm not touching that. Well, they're both cool cats, but boy, they can be dogs on the track.
Yeah, and they were great to watch. But I think, Carol, you're going to agree with me that our favorite person to watch in that race was 14-year-old
Ross Chastain.
And he was doing the show car that used to sit up on the hill.
Well, the reason he was driving that car, because there was a question on one of the boards about a youngster being in a Budweiser-sponsored car.
Mm-hmm.
That car was used that night as a test car because his father wants to buy it for him, and it turned out that he did so well with it, they're going to win, and the Budweiser stuff will be off of it. But Ross Chastain is...
He handled himself so well.
He's amazing.
Against the big boys out there on that track. It was really quite impressive.
Not only that, he's a very polite, friendly young guy. Tyler Lang, he's another one that was there... These kids are really going to be great stars when they get further up. Imagine your first night racing against the top pros in the state and coming in fourth. Oh, my word.
It was quite impressive. Unfortunately, was it Mike Franklin couldn't make it
right
to be in the race. But
Johnny Kay couldn't make
it. Yeah, but it was a great race, and the fans were going crazy. They were just having a really good time.
Did we mention about Hanishek?
No, we didn't.
They had the super stock, I think they were.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. There's so many different stocks. But anyway, John Hanishek was coming around the third turn, and somebody coming into four, and somebody spun him, and he wound up going through the winners.
Backwards across the finish line into the grass.
And won the race.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
That was pretty fun.
That was really exciting. It was a great night of racing.
So let's move on to what's going on here tonight.
I think we got to take a break. We're taking a time out here soon, boss. Koss. You are, folks. You're listening to Inside Florida Racing. We'll be right back.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
We're back. Inside Florida Racing, Carol, who are these fellows we're having on again today? Tonight.
They're impressive men.
Go ahead, CC. Who are they?
Okay.
either one of you gals.
Well, there's
Doug.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're going to talk to John Tenney, you need to get on it right now.
Okay. Hey, John. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good evening.
Nice to have you on. Okay. Who are you? What do you do? What's the number of your car?
Hi, John.
I'm
welcome
just
to
kidding.
The show.
Okay, John. Are you there? Can you hear us?
Solicitation. I don't want to buy any.
Come on, we've got some awesome Tupperware for sale for you, man.
Yeah, I got a deal for you at Brooklyn Bridge at Spanish.
What class car do you drive, John?
Well, I have no class, but aside from that...
Well, your car does.
He fits right in.
Unfortunate.
Oh, okay.
Which is really a scaled down, a very limited late model. That's what I call it, the VLMM, very limited late model.
Very limited late model. Looks like a late model to me.
Yeah.
And that's the number 31 Monte Carlo?
Yes, that's it.
Monte Carlo.
How long you been racing, John? Because it's only recently I've... But, of course, you're away from where I live in the state of Florida, but I've just noticed you on the boards in the last year or so.
Well, that would be because I've only recently started racing.
Oh, okay.
I'm the 50-year-old rookie.
50-year-old rookie.
I'd have never guessed it.
John, this is Jack Smith. What prompted this this insanity, man?
Second childhood.
Midlife crisis. You know, foolishness. A strong desire to throw away all my hard-earned money. I'm not quite sure.
What, did a divorce bring this on?
Although my wife's at fault, but we're not divorced yet.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, if it didn't bring it on, just get ready. It's coming.
Well, you have an interesting background, John. When I look at what you've done previously, software engineer, professional musician, commercial airline pilot, operating a successful insurance agency, that's quite a...
Somebody's on my website, I guess.
What can I say? I know how to use Google. It's a varied past. So I think everybody out there would be really curious at this point in your life, what prompted to get into racing at this level, at sportsman's level?
I think the question everybody asks is, have you finally figured out what you want to do when you grow up yet? So that's where I'm at. How this happened is I've been a race fan since the mid-90s. When I was in my aviation career, I had an opportunity to work for P.J. Jones, who's the son of Parnelli Jones. P.J. and I met at a flying school where I was teaching him how to fly his airplane, which he is a pilot, has his own airplane, and we hit it off. And he said, hey, why don't you hang around, you know, if you're not busy, which I wasn't at that time. I was starving and single, so... He said, why don't you hang around with me for the summer? I'm going to be running around the NASCAR and Indy circuit, you know, trying to get rides and stuff. And I could use an extra pilot, and I'll throw you some extra money and feed you, you know, and give you a place to stay. And we'll have a good time. I said, sure. So we ran around the country in his airplane, going from Indy tests. He was testing a Toyota Indy car then with Dan Gurney. And his brother Paige was trying to get a Busch ride, so we were going to every racetrack on Saturdays to, you know, as what they said was to go stir the pot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking for rides, trying to get sponsors, trying to get a team to pick him up. And, you know, I'd watched races when I was a kid. You know, I knew the names like A.J. Foyt and Fireball Roberts, names like that. But I'd never really been a diehard fan. But they left me at in the pits in Rockingham one day. I'd known P.J. about 2 weeks. He said, I have to go talk to somebody. Will you stay here and don't get in any trouble? This is on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, I was next to a car that had, I don't know, some drink on it. It might have been Mountain Dew. It might have been Mellow Yellow. I can't remember. On the hood. And I just happened to put my hand on the fender, and I was leaning against it when this voice bellowed from out of the garage, don't lean on the car! And I quickly took my hand off the car, and I turned around, and this tall, skinny guy came down and said, who are you? And I said, I'm Don Tenney. I'm P.J. Jones' pilot. He just told me to stand here and get in. And he said, well, if you've been around racing, you know you don't lean on the cars.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's my problem. I haven't been around racing. I don't. As a matter of fact, I don't know anything about racing. Could you teach me a little bit about it? So maybe I can stay out of trouble. I mean, unless you're busy. He goes, no, I'm a driver. I'm not busy. You know, they don't want me here. I just have to be here to drive it. They're working on the car now. I said, okay, well, you know, give me a few clues. He says, well, clue one, don't lean on the car. I said, okay, got that one. Says, well, what else do you want to know? I said, you know, open-ended question. I said, well, what's your name? Huh? His name's Dan. Okay, nice to meet you, Dan. You drive this car? Yeah, this is my team, the team I drive for. Okay, aren't you racing today? He says, no, we're racing tomorrow. I go, oh, you didn't make today's race? Said, well, no, you see, that's not how it works. See, this is kind of the B league today, you know, the big league tomorrow. We're in the big league. I said, oh, okay. Think you'd do well? He says, well, we're on the pole. And I looked at him, on the pole? That sounds pretty uncomfortable. I didn't know what it meant. And I said, oh, you mean like pole position? He said, you really don't know anything about racing, do you? I said, no, I'm an empty mind. You can teach me from the beginning. He says, no, we qualified, and I came in with the fastest time, so I start first. Yes, the pole position. I said, oh, just like the Indy cars. He goes, well, no, not really. He says, that's too advanced a question. We'll leave that one for later. And this time, you know, PJ comes up and goes, come on, John, we're going. Hey, Danny, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. They talk, we walk away, and he goes, have fun talking to Danny? I said, yeah, he's a nice guy, you know. they're on the pole tomorrow. I know what that means now. He goes, oh, yeah, they're pretty fast. I said, yeah, he's like a cool guy. I guess he got a ride. Did you get one? He says, you don't know who he is, do you? I said, no, I have no idea. His name's Dan. That's all I know. He says, you never heard of Danny Sullivan, have you? Nope. And I had not heard of Danny Sullivan. And he was telling me he was an IndyCar driver who was trying to break into the NASCAR scene. And another situation happened that year at the inaugural Brickyard. I was standing outside with PJ's dad, Parnelli, and another guy, because PJ was inside grubbing for a ride. And they weren't letting Parnelli in because he had shorts on. And the NASCAR people are serious. Even though the Indy people would have let you into the Indy 500 with shorts on, the NASCAR people do not let you in the pits area with shorts on because it's a safety hazard. So we had to wait outside in this big Mercury monster, some Lincoln Continental. You remember those two-tone Lincolns? The ones were kind of brown and beige, you know?
Yeah.
Those big, they looked like tanks.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is coming up and starting to turn in, and Parnelli literally shoves me out in the road and says, stop that car, John. Don't let him in. He's got to have a pass. I said, what? He goes, stop him. Make sure he's got a pass. And he pushed me right out in front of this car. And the car stops, and I walked up to the guy, opened up the window. I said, excuse me, sir, you have to have a pass. He grabs his pass off his visor, and he hands it out to me, but he's looking over at Parnelli. He goes, yeah, here's my pass. Then he said a dirty word. I think it starts with A, ends with hole. And I look down at the pass, and it says A.J. Foyt.
Oh, my goodness. My.
Now, I had never seen this guy with his helmet off. I don't know what they look like. Now, I did recognize Richard Petty. That one wasn't hard. But, I've looked back at that now, and then I became a fan after that. Then I started realizing, I met a lot of famous people. Of course, none of them remember me. But we started getting back into it. PJ started picking up a couple of NASCAR rides. A couple of years ago, he got an opportunity with Mach 1 Racing to race the 34 car in the Cup. And he and I happened to be talking one day, and I said, could you use some help financially? He says, hell yeah, we could use some help. Hey, you don't ever ask that of a race car driver, which now I know. This is a big hole in which you pour money. But I said, well, okay. So I called the owner, Chris Edwards. I said, what can we do? I don't have a lot of money, but I might be helping. He says, well, any little bit helps. I said, well, I could give you, a couple $1,000 or something. He said, I'll put you on the hood for that. Next thing you know, I'm on the hood of a next, our company's on the hood of a Nextel Cup car. Now, we did not make a single race with me on the hood.
You didn't give him enough money.
We did get some TV time. Because of the qualifying and speed. And one thing I found out, as soon as you sponsor a car, guess what your next 100 phone calls are?
Sponsor others?
Drivers?
That's right.
Looking for my
dad wants you to sponsor his Bandolero.
Yeah.
Hey, my kid's just starting in the quarter midgets, and boy, you could really help him out. And I can't, that drives me nuts.
Now, John, since you're new to actually racing, how have you been doing in the races?
Oh, you would ask that, wouldn't you?
I'm asking the questions that everybody out there want to know, John.
I have one top five.
Very good. And your home track is?
Speed World, Orlando.
Up in Orlando.
Well, it's literally 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
I saw John's picture on the Karnak board, and I was sitting there talking to Kim Brown at Orlando, and I looked over at the fence, and I said, do you know that guy over there? And she said, no. I said, I think that's John Tenney. Because I see his face on the board all the time. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it was.
I looked mean and imposing, didn't I?
You were posing, yes. But I wish I had gone over to say hello, because I was right.
Now, John.
I was very intimidated that night. I have to tell you why. Because the week before, I had wrecked. I'd gotten in my first wreck. And I had wrecked another sportsman driver, of course, race a sportsman. I ran over Justin Reynolds and wrecked his car. And I went over to apologize to him after the race, even though he did go on to finish second. And I walked over to him and said, dude, I never saw you. Because I was swerving high to avoid a wreck, and he was passing me on the high side, and I did not see him, and I ended up putting my air box into his window. I almost got upside down.
Oh.
But did some pretty good damage to the car. I went to apologize, and of course, he would hardly even talk to me. He says, I said, were you trying to pass me? He says, I was already past you. And I said, well, I guess not if I hit you. And he didn't appreciate that very much. But they were around that night, and I hadn't made friends with them yet. So I was very intimidated that night.
Don't make friends and don't apologize.
Well, we're friends now because the next week he's out there with a...
No, you're not. You're not friends.
Well, you know what I mean.
No, you think you're friends. Just wait till he's got the opportunity to show you just how unfriendly he can be.
John, those are the words of a...
I don't think he'd do that.
Those are the words of... John, those are the words of a very expensive, a very experienced driver. That, yeah, yeah. Bonehead's
on the back of his car, though. It says, "Can you see me now?"
What are you going to do? Are you planning on just doing this for the fun of it with the sportsmen, or are you going to try to work up to something bigger?
Oh heck, no, no.
Just fun.
No, I have a very successful business, and so far, a happy family.
Yeah, you're right. As long as you're having fun doing what you're doing, just keep doing it.
Right.
Traveling, you know, when I was in the airlines, I was away for 4 to 5 nights a week, and I got sick of that, not being able to see my wife and kids. So, I mean, something like even an ARCA circuit would be way too much for me.
So tell me, how much would it cost me to get a pilot's license?
Well, it depends on what you want. If you just want to learn to go up and fly, you know, locally and...
No, for a job.
Oh, for a job?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know how you start with a... You know how you make a million in aviation, right? It's the same way you make a million in aviation. You start with 10 million.
Yeah, you got to start with a small fortune.
I keep picking out the expensive hobby.
Bonehead, why are you playing with that man like that?
I'm not. I'm seriously thinking about flying. I think flying's...
Nobody's going to get in an airplane with you. Are you out of your mind?
Well, when's the last time you met your captain? You don't know who they are. Hey, seriously.
Story is actually, I don't like to fly commercial anymore. I know who's up there.
Well, you know, something that I think, and a lot of race car drivers probably do, and now you've done it backwards because you flew and then you got into a race car. For race car drivers, man, I look up all the time and see the airplanes, and man, that's like, to me, it's got to be pretty cool to go up there and fly, you know, and just to be able to go up and fly whenever you want. And
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That part is cool, but that's not what an airline pilot does.
Well, no, you just get paid.
Goes up and flies when someone tells him to, goes where someone tells him to go, and has no life.
Right.
You guys got to understand. And also, let me just blast the myth. Airline pilot does not pay a lot until you've been in the business for 20 years and had a lot of lucky breaks and got hired at a major airline.
Hey, it's like working at a radio station.
Yeah, well, so, I'll tell you.
Does a helicopter pilot...
More than I did my first 3 years in the aviation as an airline pilot. I'll tell you that right now. Because my third year as an airline pilot, I finally cracked $20,000 a year.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that low.
Well, he's not telling you. He only worked...
Because for every one of those jobs out there, there's 1,000 guys who are willing to do it for nothing. In fact, they're even willing to pay for it.
Just like contracting.
Wow.
It's the same thing.
Well, you know, Rob, if you want to talk to somebody about flying, you need to talk to the morning mayor, Charlie Shue.
Oh, well, Charlie's my buddy.
Because he's got a pilot's license.
Really?
Yes, he does. And he takes people up in his plane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I can go flying then.
I hate to do this, but we need to take a break here, John. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. We wanted to introduce you to everybody. We see you on the Karnak board all the time. And
I'm so shy.
I'm sorry?
Oh, you weren't shy. You just stopped that, John.
I don't remember you ever being shy, John.
It was really nice to meet you tonight, John.
John, we want to have you come back on here in the next sometime, not too far down the road, and get some of your insights on things you've noticed thus far in your adventure.
In the racing
world. How would that be?
I appreciate that. Thanks. Can
Good.
I put in a plug?
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
Go to my website. Who's the other lady besides Carol?
That's me, Cece.
Cece?
Yeah.
Okay. Just tell people where you went.
Actually, let's see here. JohnTenney.TenComGroup.com.
What is all that mess?
JohnTenney.com works.
Yeah.
I hope so.
TenneY.
Hey, so next time you're at the racetrack.
You just spell my name right.
Next time you're at the racetrack, go see Dave Westerman. And tell him that...
He stopped by to see me the other night. What a great guy.
Tell him that Bonehead said he's way too long-winded.
Yeah, you can listen in, John. We're going to talk to him in the second hour, and we'll probably end up running over as usual because of Dave Westerman.
We'll see if you are the driver of the week at Orlando Speed World.
Well, anyway, John, I really want to thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it, and like Jack said, we'll have you back again soon.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Stay safe.
Take it easy.
Damn, Carol, you are so officious.
Officious? Is that a word?
That better not be dirty.
Officious.
Officious.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we got to go to break, but when we go to break, you know, there's every once in a while, one of the coolest things about, for me, when I go to a racetrack to cover racing, you know, to cover a story or whatever, you try to get a sense of, like, what's this night about, you know? It's what makes this night special or different from the other nights. The one thing always works really good is when you see somebody win their first feature at a track when they've been at it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Sheffield won his first street stock feature at East Bay Raceway Saturday night, and he had been racing, trying to do it for 5 years. So when we go to break, let's give a listen to
some excitement.
Gary Sheffield.
Raceway, and Gary Sheffield just won his first feature ever in the street stocks here. Gary, what's this feel like, or what's it mean to you, man?
Well, it's been a long time of coming out here, working on a lot of cars, and finally getting a win. It means a lot. It's something I wanted to prove to myself that I could do, and now I've done it, and I feel like a great accomplishment.
We started like 10th or 11th, 12th, something like that, and came all the way to the front?
Correct, yeah. The car's working real good. Jim Moore is helping me with the car, and he's awesome.
And in conclusion, like, how long have you been trying to get this one done?
This car?
To get a win in the street stock.
I've raced on and off for 5 years. On and off for 5 years.
Congratulations, man. Thank you very much.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA late model series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
And we're back with Inside Florida Racing. I'm CC Brooks with Carol Wicks and Rob Bonehead Elding, and Jack's in control over there.
No, that's an illusion.
That's the illusion.
Trust me.
Do we have somebody on the line?
Do we have another special guest?
We always have him hanging on, man. I'm going to tell you what.
Is he on?
What's the most exciting racing in the state of Florida on Saturday night?
That starts with a T.
It starts with a T-B-A-R-A, I think.
I was going to say, that would be the T-B-A-R-A.
It's got to be from Tampa.
I got a funny feeling that Doug Heveron is waiting to talk to us. Are you there, Doug?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could make it.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, the reason you're on, one of the reasons you're on, I would have got to you sooner or later anyway, you and Don Heckman both wrote on the Carnac board that you were retiring from racing. That is not good news.
Well, unfortunately for my fans and everything, it isn't. But really, I've been chasing, or not chasing, but I've been racing now. It'll be professional for 30 years, and I'm just tired, you know. I mean, I hate it. I love it. You know, we're not going to be away from it. We'll still be part of it. It's just that, you know, it's time for me to do something different, I think.
You have an awesome history of racing, even as far as NASCAR, correct?
Correct, yeah. I mean, I've dabbled in a little bit of everything. You know, I've done some IndyCar racing, you know, back when it was Winston Cup racing, the Busch racing, TVRA racing, super modifieds, USAC, sprint cars. I mean, you know, I've had a wide variety of chances to race and race against some big names that a lot of people will never be able to race against. And it's been a pretty cool career, really.
What's the most exciting thing you've done out of all that? What do you, will you miss the most?
I'll miss the people and the fans the most.
Oh, that's nice.
I've met so many people and have so many friends all over the country. I mean, Oswego, New York, down here in Florida. I mean, everywhere. I mean, anywhere I've gone, I've made friends, and I'll miss that the most. The car owners that I've driven for. I mean, I'll still get to see Don, and I'll still get to see my guys up north, and you know, when I visit and whatnot, but. That's what I'm going to miss the most, really.
Well, I can guarantee you your fans are going to miss you.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I hope I put a good enough impression on everybody where they will miss me. And like I said, it's not like I'm going to fall off the face of the earth or anything. You know, I'll still go to races, and I'll be able to enjoy it instead of having to go out there and I'll watch the other people having fun. And I'll have fun watching them have fun.
It's time to take the wife on a cruise or a nice vacation to Italy
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, you know. I mean, we revolve our life around racing, and it's so hard to do anything else that it just consumes all your time. And now Sherry and I we're going to Vegas here in a few weeks, and now we're just going to start enjoying our different part of our life, I guess, and go from there.
Heck with Italy. He's going to Vegas.
I hope you still have some money left when you come back.
I'm not a big gambler, but, you know, it works out well. I've always wanted to see John Force race. Unfortunately, I got hurt there the other day.
Yeah, you might have to settle for Ashley.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not half bad. I did tell my son that I was going to take a lot of pictures for him, and then he can have him enlarged or do whatever he wants.
Yeah, she's like the hottest chick in racing now.
She's a cutie. There's no doubt about that. John did good there. But I did read something on a board someplace, or maybe it was NHRA, that he's going to try to race in Vegas, which that would make him, like, really incredibly cool.
Superman. That would make him Superman.
Superman or stupid man, yeah. One or the other, right?
They definitely got to get a handle on those things, man. Those things are rockets, crazy.
Well, you know, that is an incredible story, too. And we talked to some, you know, we do a Harley or a drag racing show on Wednesday night. And we talked to a couple of the funny car drivers, guys that drive those 200, 300-mile-an-hour machines. And they were talking about the safety stuff that John Force has done. And, you know, the work that they have done on those machines actually saved his life, probably.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And like, I was watching an interview from his hospital bed, and they'll go back and make even better changes. So hopefully, you know, they won't split apart like his did and break his legs and whatnot, or break his ankle or whatever happened there. And but, yeah, I mean, you know, all in all, racing has gotten fairly safe, if you ask me. I mean, it's a dangerous sport, but every division does everything they can to make us drivers safe, you know, and that's a big part of it nowadays.
Is there anybody else in your family that's been involved in racing?
Well, it's always been a family thing. My dad, you know, never really raced, but, I mean, he always loved racing, and then he always supported me when I was younger, and actually all the way up through my career. But I'm my brother did a little bit of quarter midget racing and micro rod racing when he was younger, but he was more of a baseball player. So it was just me that moved on, and then, you know, all the years of racing and racing for your dad and everybody else and going Winston Cup, I knew how expensive it was, so I steered my kids away from it.
Now, Doug, my name is Cece, and nice to talk to you. I want you to know I'm really impressed by that open letter that you posted on your website.
Oh, me too.
You know, that was a very nice letter, and what I read it, and I was wondering, do you think when you run your last race at that Little 500, are you anticipating that being a very emotional day for you?
Yeah, I really do. It's going to be very hard, but yeah, it's going to be very relieving. I know it's going to be emotional. Actually, I've had emotional moments since I put that up on my board and made that decision. You know, I've sat back and I've cried, and I've had a wonderful, wonderful time. I mean, I will really, really miss it, but it's going to be very emotional. And what's good about it is I have some really true fans. And I got Patrick Evans up in Oswego, who's been a fan of mine since he was 5 years old.
Aww.
I mean, his whole family's coming. Julie Halsey, who made a fantastic scrapbook for me, that gave it to me at the International Classic up in Oswego this year. That it just has pictures from when I was 8 years old right up to this year racing, and it was just, you know, that brought tears to my eyes. Hopefully, you know, she's planning on coming. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people there, which is probably going to make it even more emotional, but it's going to be good emotions. You know?
Yeah.
Doug, didn't you post this letter like in 2005 and you just keep going on and on and on changing the date? Yeah. Aren't you just going to change the date?
Well, you know, I have been struggling with this for a couple of years, and I kept wanting to do it, and I always, you know, I wanted one more International Classic up at Oswego.
Okay, Mark Martin.
And, you know, and I didn't win this past one, which would have been really cool because it would have been 25 years to the day that my hero got killed at Oswego, Jim Champagne. And after that passed, I think that also said, well, there's nothing out there for me anymore. I've done everything I wanted to do. I've had a shot at it all, and there's nothing more that I can do. To win the Little 500, now to go out on that note with Don Heckman, that would be fantastic. That's a race I've never won, nor never have even finished, but I've had a great time running it.
We're going to have Don on in a few minutes, so that would be interesting.
Let me explain a little bit to the... Let me explain a little bit to the listeners about what the Little 500 is real quick. For you folks that don't know, it's 500 laps of racing. And explain the kind of cars that you race in that.
Well, it's you know, we'll use the TBRA sprint cars without a wing. We can use 410.
You're kidding.
410, yeah, 410 aluminum blocks you can use. I'll tell you something funny. I chew gum before I get nervous, and I chew some gum and everything.
Yeah.
And when I get going, I'll take the gum, and before I get going, actually, I'll throw it out. Well, I was at the Little 500, and I had a great opportunity to drive for Lenny Puglio for David Steele this year, and because David couldn't make it. And I hadn't been in the Little 500 for quite a few years, and, you know, kind of forget what a 410 feels like. I know what a 360 feels like, which they're awesome. And so I forget to take the gum out of my mouth. And I had it sitting on the top of my tongue. And I got out there, and the green come out, and I stood on the gas, and it just lifted the gum off my tongue and went right down my throat. And I said, whoa, I said, I forgot to spit that out. But it's just incredible. It's you know, we run around there, and, you know, without a wing in about 11 and a half seconds.
Wow.
That's got to be a quite challenging race.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievably really challenging.
And where is this?
It's in Indiana at the
Anderson Indiana.
Sports and Motorsports Park.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, it's really a sight to be seen. We start. I mean, it's a format like the Indianapolis 500. You get four laps of qualifying. You get to wave it off. Matter of fact, this year we went out on our first run, and the car was pushing so bad, so I came in to the infield, and I told Todd there that it was too tight, so we adjusted the stagger, and I went back out there, and I was just getting after it, and I come off a four, and I whacked the wall with the right rear, and I said, darn, and I pulled back in, and Todd said, he goes, now what the heck's wrong now? I said, man, I just whacked the wall coming off turn four. He goes, well, go out there and hit it four more times, because you're hauling butt.
So that...
You take your average four laps, and then they line you up, and you start 33 cars, three abreast, 11 rows. It's pretty cool.
How long does that take to when you get there before you actually race? How many days does that go on?
I think I get there on Wednesday, and then there's practice and qualifying on Thursday and Friday. And, of course, then you get to go watch races at Kokomo and everything like that. There's a bunch of good dirt racing going on. It's pretty much... from Wednesday till Saturday night.
And these are the same kind of cars that David Steele and Wendy Math drives, but minus the wing. They take the wing off.
Yes.
Wow. Right.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, you can do a few different things.
They try to lighten them up. They try to lighten them up even more than what they are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they already catch air so well.
What's that, Doug?
Weight rule now. They might have a weight rule now, but it's still not much.
Yeah, they didn't used to have much of one. I know that. They'd show up with cars that were drilled and... lightened up.
And Doug, you know, earlier this year, we did a show down at the Snook River Grill in Bradenton that featured the TBARA, and that was the whole 2 hours just the TBARA racers, you know. And the most amazing thing, I never knew this till that night, was Wendy Mathis finished eighth in that race, man.
She can get the job done.
Yeah.
It's... Everybody's got to have their good days, but some of us have more good ones than others. But.
Well, the attrition of that race, sometimes, I'm not saying anything about Wendy, but sometimes they only have, 12 cars finish that race, because 500 laps in a sprint car, let me tell you.
Oh, God, that's got to be grueling.
Yeah, think about it. You only get to see 30 laps most of the time when you're watching here. Imagine 500.
Right. I believe I timed it last year while I was there, because I got to watch quite a bit of it there sitting in the infield. But I think it took this year, 2007, it took, I think, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, they've run it in less than an hour before.
are Wayne and Wayne racing in that same race?
Pardon me?
Are the Rudimans in that race?
They may try.
No.
A lot of people go. How about how many cars show up to try to qualify for those? What are they? Is it 33 spots they give for that race?
Yeah, 33 start, and they had, I don't know, they had some going home. So I'm not sure of the car count they had, but they're not lacking for cars.
No, I'm sure.
At all.
Wow.
Well, that's going to be exciting. What is the exact date of that that's coming up?
It's the day before the Indy 500.
Day before the Indy 500, and that's going to be your last race, supposedly.
Yeah, well, no, that will be my last race.
Okay, well, I hope that you win that race for sure. That would be something to turn on the news and see that you won that
kidding.
Race.
No kidding.
What a way to end your career.
We'll be calling you up for our stand in line for our interview.
And if you go to DougHeveron.com, you can cry with the rest of us.
Yeah.
That was really very nice. I agree with CC. That was a nice tribute to your fans, and we like to feel appreciated, too.
So we're going to be talking to your car owner next, right? Is he your car owner, Heckman?
Well, he'll be, yeah. I mean, I drove for Don there 3 years, I think, down at the TBRA, and I think two of the years we had the most victories in a season, and we just had great runs together. I mean, I probably won three or four races on the last lap with him, and Beverly, and the whole gang of them, and Pops, and, I mean, they're just wonderful people, and they're just fun to be around, and they certainly know how to make a car go fast.
Who's your toughest racer you've ever raced against?
Tough question. I mean, if you want to, you'd have to pick that by leagues, really. I mean,
TBRA.
Steel and the sprint cars, obviously.
Yeah, he's tough.
I mean, I can, and what's good about David is him and I, we've done it, and we've done it at more than one occasion. We can run side by side. He knows I'm going to give him it's that half an inch that he needs, and I know he's going to give me that half an inch that I need to race side by side and not get put in the fence or whatever. He's a great, clean race car driver, and I've never ever had a problem with David. And he's a tough competitor.
Did you ever get to sit in the seat of an Indy car like David
did? Yes, I did. In 1983. I raced Atlanta in 1983. I finished 12th. I think Gordon Johncock won that day. And then I was going, we're going to Indy. I made it through all my rookie orientations. And I was running, I think, 195, I believe. And my crew chief was telling me, "You're not going fast enough. You're not going fast."
Oh, geez.
Well, you don't tell a 22-year-old that you're not going fast. And the whole gang of them. And so the day before qualifying, I was just pushing it a little bit too hard, spun out, and hit the wall, and ended up breaking my ankle, and I missed it. So not in the following year, we went NASCAR, but at least I had the chance, and it was. And the bad part about it is Chet Phillip made it that year, I think.
All right. You there?
Did we lose him?
Doug?
We might have lost him there. We lost him. We'll try to get him back. You know, he was talking about the IndyCar race, and I brought that up because he was talking about David Steele. I wasn't here for the David Steele interview, but I don't know if you guys talked about it. You know, David Steele actually almost made it into the Indy 500. I mean, he was really close, like came to the last days, ended up getting in a crash and hurting his back and stuff like that, and then he was back.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he had the opportunity, too. You know, you look at the career that this guy's had over the last 30 years.
It's amazing.
NASCAR, Indy cars, TBRA, sprint cars, the modifieds that he's raced, you know. So somebody with lots and lots and lots of knowledge about the sport. We don't have enough time to talk about, you know, all the things that he probably knows about.
I like the fact that he appreciates his fans the way he does, and he's always a gentleman. You can talk to Don any time of the day or night. Always a gentleman.
You know, it's a funny thing about race car drivers. We all appreciate.
I said Don.
Fans.
You didn't even catch me. I meant Doug.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't catch you. I was just going by what you said and about the fans. Is most of these drivers that we talk to, and I know myself. That's why we race. It's not about the money because we don't get paid that much. See if this is him calling back. Can we get him on that way?
Hey, Rob, about what in the little 500, in those sprint cars, how fast are they going during that race?
Well, the track, I believe, is a little bit bigger than a half a mile. I don't think it's a mile, but I know that. Is he back on?
You're back
with
us, Doug?
I'm back.
Hey, Doug, we were talking about the little 500. How big is the track, and how fast do you guys get going there?
It's a quarter mile, and speed-wise, I'm not exactly sure. I think I qualified running 11.3, so whatever that equates to.
Yeah, that's about a quarter mile, and that's getting around it pretty quick.
Yeah, wow. You're getting after it, and that's without a wing either, you know, and a wing with a 410.
When we got cut off there, we were talking about the Indy cars, and you were just talking about how you almost made it there, and then after you got off there, I referred to, you know, I wasn't here when we interviewed David Steele back a few weeks ago, and we talked about, we were talking with you about the Indianapolis 500. Can you maybe relay to the folks what that month of May is like as a driver? Because you get there and you're like, oh, I'm here. You know, it's got to be. Explain that, what it's like to go into the Indy 500 for the first time. I mean, to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and race there or drive there.
Well, it was very intimidating to me, you know, being 22 and done what I did in such a short time of my career. That it was very intimidating, and the whole month is just like, wow. I mean, you're there at Indy, there's so many people, there's so many things you have to do, you have to toe the line, it was just very intense for the whole month. And I was there the whole month. I left the morning of the race so I could beat the crowd, but it was just, from what I remember, I was just overwhelmed the whole time I was there and just tried to absorb everything that I possibly could.
Track and how fast you guys
get. I had Bentley Warren there to help me out because he had raced there before, so he was there to try to keep me calm. But it was just an experience that I'll never forget, and I just wish I could have made it.
Yeah. Well, so you never went back after that?
No. Then in 1984, we went NASCAR racing. Since I wrecked the car. and broke my ankle, I figured I'd go to something a little bigger. So we went down south in 1984, which was very hard because it was still pretty much a southern deal then.
All right.
And to come from New York, you know, Syracuse, New York, they didn't cut you no slack.
Right.
Jeff Bodine was down there. It was very hard. We opened the door for a lot of people, and Jimmy Spencer and us. And so it was, that's when we decided to do that. And I believe that for that Daytona 500, I passed A.J. Foyt on the last lap in the 125 milers to qualify for my first 500.
Boy, I bet that was just something else.
Oh, man, because, you know, you get a great race against all these heroes. I mean, you know, Petty and Earnhardt
to qualify, because anybody can qualify for that race, and you qualified and you beat the best to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Now, when you're out there, when you're doing something like that and you're on the track with heroes and with drivers that you respect and who are, you know, really established, how do you keep your emotions in check and focused on what you're doing and don't get overwhelmed by who you're racing against?
Well, you don't. I was very overwhelmed. You know, you run with them and you know, when you're that young, you're trying to gain all their respect. So, I mean, you just race them clean and you know, you look in your mirror, like I was leading Pocono and I'm looking in my mirror and Bobby Ellison and Neil Bonnet and all them guys are behind me, and I was like, you know, I needed a diaper.
So you really sort of have that oh my god kind of experience right then when you see them right behind you.
Yeah, you know, and then the distributor broke, and I actually thank God. I said thank you. I didn't
work in front of them anyway. That's funny.
Well, because those guys were very intimidating in those days, and I guarantee you, those guys would come down and talk to you if you were doing good. They'd be telling you, you know, you better be careful out here, you know. Things could happen to a guy like you out here.
Right, and I gained a lot of respect.
Really?
From them, which was very nice. I mean, I really never had any issues, which was nice. And I ended up getting on the right side of NASCAR, which helped me stay in and go back to Busch Racing and everything like that. So it was an incredible run. I've had a blast doing it. And I wouldn't trade in one single second for any of it.
I think you should write a book is what you should do.
You know, a buddy of mine, John Nicotra, he wrote into a website there when we passed on the statement that I made, and he said, Doug, you need to write a book, and it should say, I saw a hole and went for it.
Doug, you need to get a hold of Lou Boyd up there in Massachusetts, Coastal 181.
Yeah.
He's got so many racing books he's published and written. An amazing guy.
Yeah. I think that
I'll email you and tell you all about him.
He'd be into your story for sure, because I just think you got a lot of stories. I think you could fill up hours of conversation with stories of the different kinds of cars that you've raced, because we've only talked about a couple of them.
Well, I think it also would be inspirational for the up-and-coming drivers.
Yeah, right. Bugsy Stevens got a book out down there. Lou's got his own book out. By the way, do you know that these names are familiar to you, I'm sure?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a big reunion at New Smyrna during Speed Week, and they're all going to be there. Pete Hamilton.
Yeah, somebody got in touch with me, and I told them that I would be there for that.
Jerry Binner, probably.
Yep, that's who it was.
Yeah. Did you race this 50-lap race at DeSoto the other night?
No. My last race I ran was the International Classic up at Oswego on Labor Day.
Oh, goodness.
And then my next race will be in May, and that's it.
Where are you living at now?
I live in Jensen Beach, Florida.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in today for sure, and sharing all this information. Folks, if you've got any questions for Doug that you'd like to get to him, there is a website, CC. What is it?
They can just go to DougHevron.com.
DougHevron.com and ask him something. I think he'd be glad to answer it. He'd love to hear from his fans out there. And if you're an up-and-coming racer and you'd like to talk to somebody with some knowledge about the sport, there's your man. Doug, good luck with your racing. I hope that you win that little 500, and I hope that you win your other races that you're set up for prior there.
I personally hope you have a blast with your wife and have a lot of fun traveling.
Yeah, enjoy some vacation time.
I can't wait for that myself. I mean, like I said, we've traveled. When we travel, it's usually to races, and now we get to do some other things. And,
well, you will be missed, and we wish you the best of everything. You deserve it. And thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. And if anybody, like you said, if anybody has any questions or anything, you can write to me, and I'd be more than happy to answer anything I can. And maybe I should go out there and find somebody to help write a book, because it would be pretty humorous.
I'm going to send you the information. I'm going to email you the information on that.
We know the guy that will publish it for you.
Then there you go. Then I can work on that. That would be really, really cool. That would be just something to go along with. You know, I mean, I'm in this cup. I'm in a quarter midget Hall of Fame. I'm in a Greater Syracuse Sports Hall of Fame. Actually, I'm in Talladega's Hall of Fame for making all 200-mile-an-hour NASCAR field.
And you beat A.J. Foyt in a race.
I passed A.J. Foyt in a race.
That's right, to make it into the Daytona 500. That's a story in itself.
And now you're going to sit back and listen to the other crazy man, Don Heckman.
My hero.
Your hero, my hero, my buddy. And God bless you. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Take it easy,
Doug. Night. Thank
you, and thanks for all the fans and everything.
All right, man.
Thanks
for the racing.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Definitely a man that has put on a lot of laps at a lot of racetracks right there.
Chewy.
Yeah.
What a book.
1984. Folks, do you even realize what you're listening to when he says 1984, I qualified for the Daytona 500 by passing A.J. Foyt in one of those 125-mile-an-hour.
You know, that was 20-something years ago, and it seems like yesterday.
I graduated from high school in 1984. Okay. In 1984, none of these guys like Jimmy Spencer and all them guys, Jeff Bodine, they weren't even in there yet. Okay. They were just getting into it.
Wow.
Did you see the race the other day when they showed Rusty Wallace and Mark Martin, the picture of them two when they were young and first started? Well, Rusty had this big old mushroom hair going everywhere. Mark Martin looked like a little kid.
Fro.
Oh, my God. They asked him, Rusty, how'd you get a helmet on? Does that mean you want to go to commercial break, boss?
No.
Because I
wouldn't prompt you like that.
Usually producers do silly things like that.
Sounds. Do you keep hearing voices on here?
It's there him playing with the buttons. We're having a great interview. Okay, don't blame it on him.
No.
Let him explain.
He's got the evil look in his eye, the hand up in the
Zip
air.
It.
There are spirits, and they're not evil. They're good spirits.
Yes.
I could have sworn.
Those spirits are vodka and what else?
Now, Don Nerone is who I thought I was hearing in the background. I wasn't sure. I was hearing something back there, but every time I think I hear something in the studio here, I think it's Don Nerone.
I was testing something. You were actually hearing just 1 millisecond of yourself.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Am I like Don Nerone now?
So take it for what it's worth. Listen, man, tomorrow night on Real Racing USA Live, myself and Rick Angies we're going to talk to Ron Galletti, hopefully from Born to Ride TV. We're going to talk to some modified people, the Wayland Modified Tour, which is the monster Eastern modifieds here racing the South now. I'll tell you what, when these guys come down to Bowman Gray Stadium in North Carolina, Winston-Salem to race, they pack in 15,000 people in the stands on a Saturday night. They do this like 8 or 10 times a year.
Are these big block modifieds?
They're super modifieds. I'm telling you, man. They're not
the motors
all
sideways.
No, excuse me. That's a wrong term. People got in trouble for you. Don Nerone got in trouble for using that term, super modified. They're big modified, yes.
Yeah, with the big block.
Yeah.
Motor turned sideways out to the side.
And.
Cool.
Ken Kinney, a Florida promoter in the dirt ranks, is going to be with us tomorrow night. And we have a very special announcement. We're going to unleash the news about a whole new dirt late model series that's going to be racing in 2008 at several Florida dirt tracks, including East
We're
Bay
not
Race,
unleashing
right?
that tonight.
No, we're not. And
you just unleashed it.
And
it just went out.
And Georgia.
It just went out.
So we're going to have all that tomorrow night.
You heard it first right here.
We're also going to talk to one of the racers who's going to be racing in this new Pro Cup type series, which is going to be a spinoff of the what is known as the Hooters Pro Cup. See, the Pro Cup got rid of all they're getting rid of all their steel body cars, so all those cars are now available. And Mike Krakowski has started a new series. We had Mike on a few weeks ago. We're going to have some of the drivers that are going to race in the very first event of this new series that's being put together, and that's next week, along with Sherry Clifton, who is the promoter at Hickory Motor Speedway. Real Racing USA Live Tuesday nights.
Hickory. Hickory.
You ever John notice, Reap.
You ever notice
is there a more... When you think about the names of asphalt racetracks, is there a name that conjures up more images than Hickory Motor Speedway?
I just have an image of any time somebody says Hickory, they're always old and they shake me. Hickory.
Oh, I thought you were doing comedian John Reap. That's his line.
They're all from Hickory.
Oh, I wish we had video right now.
All right, there's no question about it. We're going to break. I'll tell you what, we still got to talk. We're going to talk to Don Heckman, yes. Robbie Cooper, Gary LaPlante, and we're going to buzz around the state here. What are you calling that?
We're calling it the
speed round.
Speed round.
Call it what you want. We're
3 minutes
to break.
Speed round.
3 minutes of fame. Be famous.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
So we're here with Ron Galletti, owner of Born to Ride magazine, TV show, producer of the TV show Born to Ride. Ron, looks like a pretty good turnout. How did this thing here at East Bay go from your perspective, man?
Well, I really thought it was something different, you know, for the motorcycle guys to come out. And talking with Todd, the owner of the track, we've been wanting to do something together for a while. And he picked this date several months back, so we had time to work it out. But, you know, we had about 2 months to promote it with our multimedia, including our website. And, you know, the people came out. People like to do what Born to Ride's doing. They know we're going to be involved in some good professional events with a good atmosphere, and this is just great. Bikers love racing atmosphere. They love to come out to family events, and they like to, you know, share their motorcycles. And, you know, putting on the bike show today, guys got to come out, put their bikes in the show, and then go watch some racing. So, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, man. And a lot of the people were saying, man, this is really cool, something different. And I think that difference is a really good thing.
Now, when can, like, some of the stock car fans, people obviously be interested in what your deal is, how do they see your TV show, man?
Well, in the Tampa Bay area, we're on MyTV 38, and that's on Sunday nights at 11:30 p.m., and that goes out to about 14 counties and 2.5 million homes, so it goes up way up into Homosassa, all the way into Crystal River, all the way up 19, Hernando, Pasco, Citrus, then it goes all the way down to Northport, Port Charlotte, then it cuts across into Highlands County, up into Orange County, and then it kind of hits a little bit of lake. So it's a big, you know, 14 counties.
Yeah.
So it's a good chunk of Florida. There's a lot of good race fans in that area, a lot of dedicated fans to motorsports, and a lot of great bikers out there, man. Florida's a great place for us.
And in your website, you have photos, videos, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we'll have, one thing that people really like about our website is we have an events update that's updated daily, and whenever the stuff's done, it's off, and we just keep going further, and we've got stuff in the 08, even 09ers is up there. So people, vendors, people are promoters, they look at our website to kind of almost as the Bible of what's going on and when to plan an event and when not to, and also when to call us to get involved in our events.
All right, cool. You'll be back here soon, I'm sure.
We hope so. We had a great time here. I mean, it's nothing like being at an event when we're filming and the kids are going crazy, and you know, it's really good to touch the children and the kids, and you know, they're smart. They remember when they got on TV, and now they're all going to be watching and, you know, giving out free stuff, you know, just making people smile. And you know, there's a lot of people tonight I think we touched. There are special people out there in wheelchairs and that couldn't get up and run around, but we got to them and gave them some stuff. So we try to pick out the people and make them remember Born to Ride. We care. We really do.
Ron Galletti, Born to Ride.
It's come down to this. 100 laps, 5 to go at the line. 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start-finish line. Going down into turn number 1, they start to fan out. Coming off a 2, they're side-by-side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4, white flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers, anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out 2x2.
All right. All right.
So does that mean we're back live?
Checkers or wreckers?
Well, we couldn't come back if we weren't, right?
Wreckers or checkers? You're listening to Inside Florida Racing.
Is it time for the speed round now?
And here we come, 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 and 30 and 5 and 30 and 5 and 40 and 5 and 5. It's time for the speed round. That's right, time for the speed round. Time to hear from all our local racetracks. So what's going on in the state of Florida, how racing was, how it's going to be, what's going on, but you got to do it real fast. Who's first?
Who we got online here?
Bow, bow. That's
first
the speed round.
Is, and our first stop is where?
Well, I don't know. Hello.
Let me see who I can round up. You guys talk amongst yourself. I'm going to see who I can round up.
We'll have to.
Okay, what we're doing here is the 3-minute speed round, which gives every track an opportunity to call in or be called and let us know
Carol,
what's going on.
Carol, here you go again. You're being so damn officious.
Officious, there's that word again.
You know, my son used to do that to me, and I used to charge him money for all these big words.
You know, her son did that to her once. Once.
That's right.
Then she hung him on a
disrespectful little twerp.
We're letting the people from the tracks, the track officials, 3 minutes to give us an update of
what happened
to their track
and
Friday
what's
or Saturday
happen.
Night and
yes.
What's coming up.
It needs no explanation. It will be very self-explanatory.
We might have some first-time listeners out there.
That's right, because Cece actually talked about it on her radio program, which
and
I'll tell you
webpage.
New folks out
That's
there.
Right.
I'm sitting here trying so hard to figure out why I'm glad he's back. I'm like,
all right, who's on here? Hello,
okay,
you're
we
welcome to Speed Round.
This is BJ Cavan from Ocala with his 3 minutes of fame.
Go, shoot.
Go, BJ.
All right, you got it, man. I tell you what, we had a big weekend this past weekend at Ocala Speedway. Had problems with the weather. We had 2 rain delays, but everybody stuck with us. We had a big crowd in the fans despite the rain delays. Got in 2 makeup races from the previous week when we rained out. So let me run through some of these people that did very well. In the VA Pure Stock makeup, that was from the previous week. James Erickson was your winner. Mike Smith placed second. Jim Cruzy placed third. The V8 Thunderstocks, our rookie class. Donnie Buckner got the win. Brian Brogan, the young kid, he came in second. And Guy DeCello Jr., the 14-year-old, finished third. A regularly scheduled VA Pure Stock race, it was Eric Gelman who took the win, but unfortunately, when he got into tech, they found the problem. He had the win taken away, so Bobby Taylor moved up from second to first. He gets the win. Larry Welter Jr. gets second, and Mike Beltman comes over from Citrus County Speedway and takes third place. Portable Cala 4-cylinder division, Brandon Elwood, once again, is your winner.
John Layard, who has been very strong as of late, he gets second place. And Melissa Hunley comes back to Ocala Speedway and takes third place in the Portable Cala four-cylinders. Market of Marion Street Stocks, Pete Close, once again, gets the win. Brent Cooper gets the second place, and Jeff Stalnicker gets the third place finish. And the Diamond Eights Racing Sportsman Division, it was William Edwards, the defending champion in the Sportsman Division at Ocala Speedway, taking the win. Eric Sauer gets second, and Tim Shaw takes third. And in the V8 Thunder Stocks, the final race of the night, it was Guy Pistello Jr., the 14-year-old, getting his first win, then Donnie Buckner finishing second, and Brian Brogan third. And, of course, the Stars Truck Series was with us for the weekend. Their young guns, it was Lance Dalbach taking the win, Chase Hoffman getting second, and Matt Cohen getting third. And the Stars Pro Trucks, John Kidwell gets the win, Barry Bartlett takes second, and Mike Powers takes third. And coming up next week at Ocala Speedway, it is Portable Cala Night, a 50-lap, $1,000 to win V8 Pure Stock race.
Ooh.
All 2008 F-Series trucks are going to be on display. Everybody from Portable Cala is going to be there. We will have NASCAR-style driver introductions for the V8 Pure Stock, so that's going to be a big thing. Giveaways starting at 5 o'clock when the grandstand gates open. We'll have giveaways all night long. You'll love it. And don't forget, October 20th is the date for the 12 hours of Ocala. That is a Saturday. That endurance race will start at 9 a.m. We will run rain or shine until 9 p.m.
All right. There you have it, folks. What's happening at Ocala? Sounds like a lot to me. Thank
Exciting.
You, BJ.
Good job, BJ.
Thank you, guys.
And,
I appreciate it.
And don't forget, go to realracingusa.com every Wednesday and check out BJ Cavan's new article where he turns it all upside down, a closer look with BJ Cavan.
Hey, go, don't forget about Inside Florida Racing when you're on that microphone.
Won't.
See you, man.
Bye.
Night, BJ. Thank
all
you.
All right. Big night Ocala coming up.
Oh, yeah. $1,000. Like an exciting night of racing.
$1,000 to pay those street stocks. Let me tell you, there's going to be a bunch of them there. They're going to get introduced like NASCAR drivers and everything. So
big
look
night.
Out. Beautiful. Who's coming up next? Let's go. We
Where
gotta
are
keep
we
going.
Off to now?
That's right. We got to keep going. He's over there playing with all his buttons. Who's coming up next? Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? What track is it going to be?
It's going to be a surprise, and here
it's
it
always
comes.
A surprise.
Count backwards from 10, slow.
Always a surprise. When you're on Inside Florida Racing, we're trying to get a hold of some more track
officials. I believe we're trying to get a hold of Linda Jerica from Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
And I can't wait to hear from up at DeSoto, because David Steele and Wendy were there. They were racing. Can't wait to hear what happened up there.
Oh, yeah. Rick will be on shortly.
Okay.
What happened with our dirt track? We were talking about all the problems that went on there. Are we going to bring that up soon?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? You remember?
No.
All the problems over at Hendry County, was it? Where was it we were having the problems, Jack? He's having problems.
Do we have Linda online? Do we have anybody?
Okay. No. All right. let's see here.
He's so...
Okay.
Did you ever work for somebody so rude...
Oh, yeah.
You know that
He's
show,
nothing.
The little kids on there? How rude.
He's nothing. You know, our speed round has been slowed down by a speed bump.
Well, you know, it happens all the time.
Very good.
We will get through. We will get through.
So hopefully, where are you guys going this weekend? You going to see some races this week?
Well, yeah, because this Saturday night, I know I'll be at Charlotte County Motorsports Park for the Hatfield McCoy race.
Speaking of Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
No. Mark Keeler.
Mark Keeler.
Hey,
Mark
man.
Keeler.
Well, you're a sneaky dog. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going wonderful. How are you all doing tonight?
Hi,
I'm
Mark.
Doing good. Hey,
what happened on the right coast, man?
Oh, awesome, awesome racing at New Smyrna Speedway. First things first, got to give a call out to the entire crew up there at the track before we could even get racing started. The rain rolled through, a nice heavy rainstorm, but management and staff, they vowed to get the show in, and that's just what they did. Also got to give a call out to two of the divisions up there. They were scheduled to run later in the night, Strictly Stocks and Super Stocks. They came out and helped us with track drying duties, I guess you could call it. Of course, Strictly Stocks running on a treaded tire, so the water not as much of an issue, but they ended up running the first two features of the night and helped us out a ton. Rush Automotive, the team cars, Eric Wolf and Eddie Rush, went 1-2. In the Strictly Stock feature, Kenny Walker taking down third spot. Super Stocks, it was Bobby Holly taking down the win with Michael Wolford, Billy Boggs coming in second. And, of course, the big races of the night, Southern Sportsman Series. They had a 50-lapper. Let's see here. Patrick Thomas set fast time, drew a 5-fill. for the inversion, put Bart Weatherford and Michael Suk up on the front row. Thomas raced all the way up, took the lead just shy of the halfway point, went on for the win. Best show of the night, though, Steve Gainey in the 79X started in 16th with no qualifying time.
Wild man.
All the way up and took the runner-up spot. What's up?
No, I just said wild man. Every time somebody says Steve Gainey, I have this like Tourette's thing that says wild man.
Never stop, Mark. Never stop. Never stop.
He's
keep
only
going.
Got 3 minutes. Quit interrupting.
Steve Gainey did a great job. Like I said, problems in qualifying. Started 16th on the grid. Raced all the way up. Took the runner-up spot. Ron Hurd ended up with a third place in that event. And then, of course, the Clyde Hart Memorial 125 for the Sunoco Sunbelt Superlate models. 23 Superlates signed in to take qualifying. Jeff Choquette and Dickie Anderson's number 92 set the fast time. A 17.105, that's an average lap speed of 105.2 on the half mile. So a great run for Choquette. He drew a five fill, started for the inversion, put Wayne Anderson on the pole, Ricky Carmichael on the outside pole.
Oh, you know, wow.
Didn't last long for him. Wayne Anderson jumped out to the early leads. He had Sam Watts, who started in the third spot. Stayed right on his bumper, so Carmichael was on the outside. They raced into turn one after, actually this was on lap two, and not a lot of heat in those tires. I think Carmichael learned that real quick. The car skated up and into the wall when he was done.
Oh, no.
Carmichael was okay. That's the good news, but the car was done for the night. And caution number two, we had a four-car incident on the front stretch. Corey Freed, Kurt Jett, David Rogers, Dustin Skinner, all involved in that one.
Come on, get the Choquette wreck. Get to the Choquette wreck.
Hey, come on now. Freed and Jett able to continue. Rogers and Skinner were done for the night. Choquette raced all the way up to the second spot. He was putting pressure on Wayne for the lead on lap 15. The rear hub broke on the car. Choquette went up into the turn four wall. It was kind of reminiscent of the B.J. McLeod incident and Governor's Cup qualifying the year before. It was a little further down coming out of turn four, so bad news for Choquette was the car was done. Good news, Choquette was okay. A lot of really good hard racing. The top five broke away from the pack, and every one of them putting pressure on the rear bumper of the guy in front of them. It was awesome. At that point, it was anybody's race. Wayne Anderson still the leader. Couple of points notes for the Sunbelt Series. Brian Finney came in second in points, dropped out of the race lap 33 with engine problems. Third place in points, Chad Pierce. He lost his brakes just after the halfway point and hit the wall. And actually, this is where it gets interesting, because when the caution flew, leaders coming out of turn number two, Wayne Anderson checked up first before anybody else did. And we're pretty sure his spotter called it because she was watching the wreck. But right as the yellow came out, he slowed up a bunch. B.J. McLeod had no place to go, went right into the back of him.
Oh.
So B.J., who had a good run going on, he had to retire his car with that one. Merely a racing incident.
Was there a fight?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Let me get on. points leader Tim Russell. Disappointing qualifying effort. Started 11th at this point. He was up in the top five, so putting on a good show there. Anderson was the leader. Constant pressure from Patrick Conrad. Conrad got to the inside of him, lap 105. They raced for about three laps side by side. And when you say a dead heat at the start-finish line, it was a dead heat. The unbelievable side-by-side racing. They both gave each other plenty of room. Coming off of turn four on lap 107, the rear end of Conrad's car come out from underneath him. When he tried to gather it up, of course, with Anderson on his outside, they made contact. Anderson hard into the outside wall, came down and then tapped the inside wall as he came to a slow. He walked away from the car. Car was really battered. He was obviously disappointed and in some pain, but unfortunately it was a racing incident. The restart, Patrick Conrad was on the point, Sam Watts in second, Russell in third. Right after the green flag came out, Sam Watts was a rocket ship. He got around Conrad in one and two, and that was just about a 12-lap shootout to end the race. Sam Watts won it by about a full straightaway. Timmy Russell ended up picking up second spot. But Sam Watts said in victory lane, they were just there to shake the car down. It was a brand-new car. He's only been, I think, in a super late model three times. He raced twice up Hickory. This was his first time at New Smyrna, and he walks away as the champion of the 2007 Clyde Hart Memorial.
There you have it.
Got to give a big shout-out to the fans. They hung in through the weather, and they showed up, and they got to witness a great race, but they all hung in through the weather delay, so it was great to see them out there. Next up for New Smyrna Speedway, TBARA, Outlaw Wing Sprints, and a Sports 50 Lapper this weekend. And then the following weekend, it's the Advance Auto Parts Pro Truck 75.
Well, thanks so much for the update,
Mark. We're going to give him 15 more seconds. Rob's got to say thank you for filling in for him for 2 weeks.
I was going to. Mark, thanks for filling in for me for 2 weeks. They run TBARA sprint cars, wing sprint cars on your racetrack?
Next week.
Yes, they do.
Next week.
50 laps. Wow.
And then they'll have, they always come up for speed weeks. They race a couple nights of speed weeks. Unfortunately, these both of the first two shows up there. So this will be a chance of 07 to get to see them at the half mile.
Wow.
They are unbelievable.
I bet. I bet. Hey, Mark,
good
we got to go.
Mark.
I appreciate it.
Right.
Bye, Mark.
New Smyrna. Okay, who's coming up next?
By the way.
Interesting. TBARA and New Smyrna, half mile. Wow.
50
by
laps.
By the way, we will have Sam Watts on our show next week.
Okay.
Yeah. We will have Sam Watts on our show next week.
She's writing that down, sir.
Well, no, we will, because he, you know what? He's another one of those guys who learned to do it in Legends, and they're just the best. They're the best.
Well, imagine what Mark's going to have to talk about next week. He'll take up 5 minutes talking about all that stuff next week.
Mark is very good. Mark is very
knowledgeable.
He
did a good job.
He did a good job last couple weeks. And he's a lot of fun to work with. Great guy.
Nice guy, yeah.
Well, you guys, where are you going this weekend?
Haven't even had a chance to think about it yet. I just got done with this weekend.
Do you guys ever go anywhere besides Charlotte County?
I do. I go everywhere.
I haven't yet, but I'm...
Ever?
No.
Somebody needs to...
Newbie.
Yeah.
Well, yes. I have proposed going to other tracks, and they don't... what I've been told is we will make those road trips to go do that once we're out of rainy season, because he doesn't want to drive when I get off work on Saturday all the way up someplace and then get a rain out.
So who is this?
Brian.
Does he run your life?
Go with Carol.
No, he doesn't run my life.
You hear that, Brian? She says no.
No, but, you know, it sort of makes sense. You know, don't want to travel a long distance. And
especially if you're going to go to a dirt track or something, you want to make sure it's not going to rain.
So we're going to be doing that this winter.
Travel around a little bit and do some reporting.
Dress extremely warm when you head over to New Smyrna. Yeah,
looking forward to it.
The good news is when you go over there with the Florida Auto Racing tag, they treat you pretty good. Just ask Carol. She'll tell you about it.
I have always been treated awesome every track I've been to.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to going on a road trip with Carol.
You're pretty upset to hear that Ricky Carmichael crashed his car up there.
I'm upset when anybody does, but yes, I do think the world of Ricky Carmichael, and he's having a rough start.
How come you think?
He's learning.
Because it's harder than what people think.
Well, yes, but when he gets it, he's going to get it good, so just wait.
All right, who's on?
Carol Wick said
who's next? Who's next on the speed round, sir?
Who we got here? Can we hear you?
Austin now.
You'll never know.
East Bay Raceway.
East Bay Raceway.
Win Holly. Go for it, man.
3 minutes. Let's go, let's go, let's go!
Hey, Whit.
Are you there, sir?
Hello, Whit Holly.
You're sure you got him turned up? Sir, can you hear me? Sir, can you hear me? You're on the speed round. Can you hurry up, please?
Caller, you're on the air.
So things were really exciting at East Bay. Is that what you're saying?
It was so exciting, Rob. He's speechless.
He's speechless, yes. He's a long pauser.
Now, for me, who's never been there, where exactly is East Bay?
Gibsington, Florida. Gibtown. You ever heard of Gibtown?
Yeah. That's like just north of Tampa, right?
That's where the Giant used to live. You know, it's where all the carnival acts are from in Gibtown. And there, right next to an old graveyard for cars.
What do you call that? The Cargill Mines are right in front of you.
Okay.
When you're sitting in your seat, you could see the Cargill Mines in front of you.
Yeah, I think they can race late there. They don't have no time limits there, I don't think. They're out in the middle of the country. And it's in Tampa. People say, oh, there's no racetrack in Tampa. Yes, there is. In
the one of the best, funnest? Is
most
that a
fun
word?
Yeah,
most fun track in the state of Florida.
Funnest is a super fan word for sure.
Okay.
Because I hear it a lot from fans out there. About
and East Bay's the dirt track.
It's a dirt track. They run the Winter Nationals there for late models and sprint cars and all kinds of stuff. But their weekly shows are great. And
okay,
I guess
so
we're going to hear about it, sir.
That track is going on my list of road trips.
Is this East Bay again?
Okay, here's the deal. I inadvertently called BJ back because I had his number typed out. So we just called up BJ and said, get on with it.
Okay.
When I had his number down in Whit Holly's spot.
It would have been
funny
if he went off.
We apologize, BJ.
It's a good thing we're so professional.
Okay.
Win Holly from East Bay Raceway. What kind of night was it, man?
It was a big night with all the motorcycles showing up and supercar counts like we've had before, and they're racing in the late model class, and the Outlaw 4 class was absolutely spectacular, I thought.
Well, what else did you have going on there? I mean, you had a lot of fans show up, a lot of cars show up.
Yeah, 96 cars showed up.
Wow.
Had 30 late models showed up, so car count was down, dadgummit. We had 34.
Roger Krause had them covered, didn't he?
Yes, he does. Roger is able to get that car of his to work just about anywhere on the racetrack he wants it to. He can run all the way to the bottom, and also he can run up there and rub the back end off the wall, too, if he wants to. But he got the win. He had to fight with Ryan Mitchell for a while, and it went back and forth and back and forth. And then the Nosbusch brothers got involved, both Keith and Jackie. And Sean Smith also had a very strong run in his 17 car. He's really coming on good, too.
Talk about some of your young drivers that you've got there that are racing that are going to be stars.
Well, we've got the Borner kids. They've both moved up out of the go-karts. One of them is running the Outlaw 4s and another one running the Modifieds. And in fact, the Alex won the Modified feature a couple of weeks ago and did a Tony Stewart impression climbing up into the flag stand.
Oh, so he didn't just cuss somebody out then.
Hey, watch it, buddy.
Whit, were them fans going crazy last night or Saturday night or what, man? They were into it, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were, and that's always good to see. Hopefully with the people coming out with the motorcycles and Born to Ride magazine and the promotion that they put on with us out there, hopefully we made some new race fans. Maybe opened up the eyes to some people that had never been before, and I think that's the whole point, you know.
Yeah, it's tough being in Tampa where there's not many race fans. You know, it's something else. That I'm from Tampa, so I can say that. So I got transplanted down here after Hurricane Charlie. I tell you, that city of Tampa and the county of Hillsborough County, I can't believe there's so many non-racers that are in charge of that county. It's great to see you guys have been able to survive there all these years.
It hadn't been without hassles, but so far so good.
Yeah, just thank some of those guys that are forefathers of racing that started that racetrack there, and it's been kept that way. And you guys really do a great job there. Jack really had a good time there at the show you had this past week. What's coming up? What's coming up this weekend?
This weekend we go back into our semi-regular scale show. Excuse me. Hold on one second.
We are holding on.
Limited late models, which were not on hand this past Saturday night, along with the late models, the modifieds will be back, the street stocks, and the Outlaw 4 class. So the five class show coming up on the 6th of October.
So I asked Jack, and he didn't answer me. You guys still let old Gene Lasker race around there?
Yes, sir. It's one of them love him or hate him kind of deals. And as long as it gets people's interest up, it's all good. You know, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
That's right, and he's the head of the Outlaws or something, too.
Hey,
wait,
tell him, man. You even let Bubba the Love Sponge drive his number 101 late model around the track.
Yeah.
Bubba's been out here with us recently. Bubba switching over from the sprint cars, which he was in the deal with Gene Lasker, too.
He did good, man.
And now moving over into the late model class, and obviously, we were short of cars, so we can look for all of them we can get, you know?
Sir, I did not know that Bubba is racing.
Bubba, yeah,
I mean, I know him from working in radio. But
he's a top 10 finish Saturday night, I believe.
He's been racing for a while. He's been racing for a while, and him and Gene Lasker were buddies. And even when he had his show there in Tampa on 98 Rock, you know, they used to promote the racetrack quite a bit and cause a lot of problems, too, at the same time. But I think so Bubba's not in the sprint cars. He's in a late model is what you're saying.
Yes, that is correct.
Now, he's tried to race. I've raced against him in asphalt late models before.
Really?
Before he started doing the sprint car thing, and then he got into the dirt racing. And, you know, he's definitely a supporter of you guys' racetrack big time. I'm sure he talks about it quite a bit on the Cirrus show that he does.
Right. I imagine he does, especially with Gene calling him up. He has no choice.
That's interesting. I thought I knew a lot about Bubba, but I've learned something new tonight.
No, actually.
Bubba's a pretty fair racer.
Turn the microphone over.
Yeah, he is a pretty fair race car driver. And you know, if you watch some of these shows that they have on TV that show the sports bloopers and crashes or whatever, there's one that comes on there that's Bubba having a really serious crash over there at East Bay.
Really?
Yeah, and it comes on. You just have to watch it and see. But
I'll have to look
interesting it up. Story. You know, I appreciate you calling us. Your 3 minutes are up. Next week, we'll give you a call. I appreciate it.
All righty. See you then. Or talk to you then.
Good night. Yeah. Thank you.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Edward City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
What do you think of that?
What did you think?
Your microphone's off again. Yeah, it's really causing problems there.
Welcome back to Inside Florida Racing.
Oh, yeah, this is the real life here.
This is the real life. This is Carol Wicks, Rob Elting, Bonehead, and CeCe Brooks.
Hey, Edward, this is a great show tonight.
Yeah, we're having a good time. Eight Stories up in the Karnak Tower. But it is something that I need to get
time.
Out here is that we haven't heard from any of our... Well, maybe this will be them.
Terrell Webb from Auburndale Speedway is going to tell us all about the late model action up there and everything else that went on.
3 minutes, Speedy, let's go.
How you guys doing?
Good, 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 good. How are you?
As
welcome
insane
back.
As usual.
Another day in paradise, thank you.
Paradise, huh? Beautiful.
Yeah, Florida's paradise. Not too hot, not too cold.
Not too much rain these days.
Weather changes every few hours. If you don't like what's going on, just wait a few minutes. We'll have something different.
So what happened at your track this weekend, Trell?
Had a great weekend. We had a 100-lap late model feature race. 16 cars showed up. A lot of big names there. Kevin Macy was out. Daniel Webster was back. Aaron Williamson, Wayne Morris. Real good race.
Who won?
Well, Kevin Macy actually won for the first 96 laps. Aaron Williamson was the leader. He started on the pole, best I remember, and nobody could catch him. And we had a series of cautions, and with only four laps to go, we had a restart. And Aaron somehow spun. I don't know how it happened because I wasn't looking that direction. You know, I'm talking about whatever I see, and since Aaron was leading so handily, I was talking about one of the other races for position, and anyway, Aaron spun, and he ended up going to the back of the pack, and Kevin Macy, who was maybe a couple behind him, ended up making a pass in the last couple of laps and ended up winning the race.
So what was the story behind the big spin out?
I don't know.
Really?
I didn't ask our race director, and he didn't give me an explanation. It just finished out, and that was it.
You just put him to the rear, and that was the end of it. All right, go on. Let's. What else happened?
I'm sure something happened, but like I say, you know, that's not my job. I'm just the announcer. So since they didn't give me any explanation, they just, I guess they said he spun himself, and so he ended up going to the rear since he caused the caution.
What other races did you have this weekend?
Well, we had our sportsman class, modified mini stocks, street stocks, you know, just regular stuff. We didn't have anything special up there other than the super late models.
And then what's coming up this weekend?
Well, this weekend we did have a big sportsman and modified mini stock race, but those are going to change from October 6th to October 13th. So instead of that being this weekend, we're going to have race cars of yesterday and open wheel modifieds will be there this coming Saturday on the 6th.
All right, very good. Open wheel modifieds always make for a good race.
Oh, yeah, those guys put on a great show also. And everybody likes speed. Open wheel modified, super late models, those are both speed cars.
Well, all right, That's your 3 minutes of fame. We got to get going. We got more tracks to do. We'll call you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, y'all.
All right.
Thank you. Good night.
See you.
There you go, Auburndale Speedway.
Auburndale Speedway, man, they got it going on nowadays.
I just love to hear about the late model racing going on there. You know, for so much time, they didn't have any late model racing going on there. Now they do. That's all good. You know, the speed round's going good. We haven't heard from Linda yet. Where is she?
I don't know, but she better hurry up. Because if we
I have a question.
Question.
Now, Carol, you were there, Charlotte County Motorsports Park, Saturday night.
Yes, ma'am.
I saw an ambulance. I saw a fire truck pull into the pits.
A lady in
what
the
happened?
Back had a... Originally, they said that she had a seizure, but I talked to the medic, and he thought she had a heart attack. She had some pretty serious health problems going on.
Okay, play the music. Speaking of serious stuff going on...
Well, because we were wondering, we were sitting up on the hill, and we know we saw that action going on. We were wondering what was happening.
Just a little fight in the pits.
Well, that's what we thought, because... Some of the, you know, the what's happening on the track, we thought might have carried over back into the pit.
Oh, they never do that.
Oh, never. Never.
Speed round.
Where are we off to now?
Whose speed round is this, Jack?
Figure it out, man. Figure it out.
I'm hoping it's...
Speak to me.
Hello.
It's Linda.
Hey, there you are, girl.
Linda Jericho from Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
This is Linda.
Linda?
Yes.
Linda, this is Bonehead.
We allow anybody on this show.
Hi, Linda. It's Cece.
Hi, Cece.
Hello.
Carol, hello. So I get 3 minutes, huh?
Well, go ahead. We might give you four.
Well, we're glad to announce that we had finishes this week because, you know, we didn't have any rain, so, and it was beautiful and no sight of rain, so we had a lot of fans in the stands and 8 features, 320 laps. And the last checker was 11:29.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
Yep.
Our open wheel race, we had Scott McDaniels, I'm sorry, winning the feature of the open wheel race with Scott Kleiber second and Eric Rudd. Sean McLaughlin was doing double duty. He ran in the open wheel and the late model. Didn't have too good of luck in either one of them, but, hey, you know, 2 cars, 1 person. The late model was a real exciting, like I heard them talking earlier, everybody's eyes was on that little Ross. I'm telling you what, he had everybody cheering, you know, he was just, he started towards the rear, and then spun out one of the late models too, because he was running towards the front there, spun him out, got sent to the back, and I think the last lap coming around out of turn 4 gave Joe Winchell a little boot, trying to take that third place position away from him, but it ended up with Bobby Shelton being the winner, and Dustin Dunn second, Joe Winchell was third, and Ross was fourth. So that was really great. Then we had the Sportsman, a 50-lap Sportsman race. Dale Dean, he was first with Guy Sheets second. John Hanischek, like they said, spun around, got tapped by Ricky Bouillard coming down the front, turned, spun him, but he crossed over the line before Ricky backwards, but he was third. So that was real exciting. Thunder Trucks, Ray Jane, he was the winner with Randy Kyle second. And
Go, Randy.
And Richard DuPont third. The Fab Fours, we had a good car count in that. We had 13 cars. We had a couple newcomers. The Bigleys were there. They came down. When they had called, they're like, we want to come race on the big track. I'm like, the big track? Brainton's bigger than ours. They're like, no, they race inside. So they had a good time. Fab Fours, Chris Loney was back out driving Les Couch's car. Chris Loney won. Michael Rodriguez was second. And Rose Mako, again, she came in third.
She did so good, yep.
Yes,
she's putting on some good shows.
And the last time she won, and her husband was out of town, so he was there when she got to go down the winner's circle. So he was pretty excited. Pro Fours, we had Derek Gray coming in first. Danny Daniels second. And Shane Moore third. Fast Kids, coming into this race, Seth Greco and Ross Chastain were tied for first place in points, and I think we started with 7, and at the last, there was 2 cars left. They blew up, they wrecked, it was just a mess, and Seth Greco ended up winning the race with Tyler Lang being second. Ross Chastain was third, so I think Seth Greco ended up getting 2 points on Ross for the Fast Kids Racing Series, and What else is there?
What do you got coming up this week, Linda?
This weekend coming up, yes, is the Hatfields and the McCoys, and I'm sure glad Gary's coming on because I've had a lot of calls. You know, is it the trucks racing first, the Road Warriors, Outlaw Street Stocks? So he'll explain all that. We've been getting a lot of calls, so that ought to be real exciting.
Linda,
we also have a 50-lap Super Stock. We have the Outlaw Modifieds, Fab Fours, Pro Fours, Road Warriors, and the Figure 8 boat races.
Yeah, we don't have a curfew like you got, so we can hang out here and get Gary on. We will get him on tonight.
I know.
It's going to be a great Saturday night of racing, Linda. Looking forward to it.
And
I'm sorry. I hope we didn't call you in the middle of Big Brother or something.
Well, yeah. I hope we didn't disturb you, Linda.
Tonight, no. I work on points and driver sign-in sheets and all that on Monday night now, so I got to do all that at home.
Did you listen to the entire show today?
Yes, sir.
So you heard my apology, right?
I wasn't down there, so I don't really know.
Oh, I know. I said I wasn't apologizing.
Oh, no.
I said I wasn't apologizing to you, Linda, because I wasn't ever mean to you.
No.
Well, we talked up in the office at the end of the night.
Oh, did y'all?
Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, no.
But you were down there making whatever was going on down there. I wasn't there, so I don't know what happened. I just heard, you know, everybody else's opinion, and you came up. Because you missed payout. You were down there doing something and they closed payout.
Yes.
So you came up to the office and we talked. And
that's right. And I was very cordial, wasn't I?
And now you can be quiet because she's had 5 minutes. Linda, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Linda.
You for the information. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you tomorrow, Linda. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There's a lot going on there with all that music and the cars. And
you think?
And the speed. What about DeSoto?
Dave Steele went out and smoked them. That's what happened at DeSoto.
We get to hear from Ricky?
No, Rick's busy. He's tied up. He can call us later if he wants to. He's tied
up. He's
tied up. Dave Westerman's having car trouble. He's out there on the interstate thumbing a ride somewhere. He's broke down.
Are we going to have our nice surprise guest on?
No, what we're going to do here is we're going to go to commercial break, and we're going to come back with Robbie Cooper. And we're going to also talk to Don Heckman. And we're going to talk to Gary
LaPlante.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay, and if you don't like it,
see you in a few minutes.
If you don't like it, tough.
Oh. Bye.
Need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
So we're here with Ron Galletti, owner of Born to Ride magazine, TV show, producer of the TV show Born to Ride. Ron, looks like a pretty good turnout. How did this thing here at East Bay go from your perspective, man?
Well, I really thought it was something different, you know, for the motorcycle guys to come out. And talking with Todd, the owner of the track, we've been wanting to do something together for a while. And he picked this date several months back. So we had time to work it out. But, you know, we had about 2 months to promote it with our multimedia, including our website. And, you know, the people came out. People like to do what Born to Ride's doing. They know we're going to be involved in some good professional events with a good atmosphere.
And if you want to hear more of that interview and a whole bunch more about Born to Ride and how crazy all them crazy bikers are, you come on to Real Racing USA live tomorrow night, 7 to 9. But meanwhile, Miss Wicks.
Super fan.
Bonehead.
Super fan.
Hello there, everybody.
We have
here.
We have with us right now one of the absolute very best open wheel modified racers in the South, not just to mention the state of Florida, in the South. Robbie Cooper, welcome to Inside Florida Racing.
Welcome to the show, Robbie.
I appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Robbie. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Doing real good.
Okay, man. Tell us about where you're racing, what you're doing, what's going on.
which series or track are you not winning the championship at this year, Robbie?
That narrows it down.
We're doing pretty good, man. We had a great year so far. We did the Gold Coast. We just closed that out a couple weeks ago. And real tight competition there. It was awesome. Those guys are, you know, they're the best. All these guys in these series are. And we ended up winning that one. We had one bad race that kind of hurt me real bad. I had a pretty good lead in the points, and with two races to go, we wrecked on the first lap real bad, and that kind of hurt us real bad. So it was on the last race going into it, there was like five or six guys that could have won it. It was an awesome race, and honestly, we don't run awesome at Bradenton. I run decent, but I don't run awesome with some guys down there that are really tough. And we were running, and we always run, you know, usually in the top five, and we were running. And me and Curtis Newman were like tied in points going into it, and he actually ended up we were side by or nose to tail the whole race. And he actually, right at the end of the race, he spun somebody out, had to go to the rear, and it kind of helped me out there. So I'm not going to lie, it was lucky. But we had an awesome year, and, you know, that was one bad night that kind of hurt me on that deal. And the Extreme deal, we've been doing awesome. We won again another night in Orlando. Once again, and guys are awesome competition, man. It's really tough. And then we've been running Ocala because it's like the local track for me. And we're actually leading the points over there, too. And it's Friday night, which helps, but it didn't conflict with Orlando because we're every other week, and it just happened to work out that way. So I went to Orlando last Friday, so I'll be in Ocala this Friday, and I'm actually going to get down to Auburndale and get some practice for that big race on the 20th this Saturday. So I'll be down to Auburndale this weekend.
Cool.
Right. So, you know.
Busy man.
These things seem to go in cycles. I mean, you know, there was a time when, you know, Teddy Nelson, no matter where he went, he seemed to win, and then there was, you know, the Lee Collins for a while just could not be beat, man. This whole deal with you didn't just start this year. You've been at this a while, and I know you had a pretty hot hand last year too.
Yeah, actually, it's 2 years, about two years and 2 months. I've been in a modified. So I've been running Sportsman for years before that, right here at Bronson. I live right here in Bronson, and I was racing out here in Bronson. But we raced around a little bit in the Sportsman. We go to Inverness and went to New Smyrna, Lake City a few times. And then we ended up getting into the modified deal. I've just always been fascinated with them because they're really fast, and they're open wheels, and I kind of like that. And we got in, and actually right out of the box, we had an awesome time in that car. We won, you know, like the first four or five races in a row with it all over. I mean, it was unbelievable. We couldn't believe it. And we had some good times. I mean, I've had some bad times. I had three real major accidents last year, and broke my sternum and ribs a couple times last year.
Ouch.
And totaled a third car in the year. So last year I either left in a helicopter or I left with a trophy. It was pretty rough last year. And then this year it's been awesome, man. I got a great crew. My family likes this stuff, and they support it real well. And without them, I couldn't do it. I mean, I got an awesome crew. We work on the car all the time, and those guys are awesome. And it just happened to come together this year. We went everywhere we went, we run pretty good. I mean, we won a lot of races, man, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Sounds like you had a pretty physical learning curve there.
Yeah, you can say that. It was pretty rough. Well, I mean, it happens, you know what I mean? They're fast, and a couple of the incidents were just, you know, just racing. You know, a guy blew up in front of me, and, I mean, there was me and two or three guys wrecked, but, I mean, I was right behind the guy, and he blew up at the end of the straightaway, and it just, it was devastating, you know what I mean? And but it was a brand new car, and we, you know, that hurt. And then 3 weeks later, I was leading another race and wrecked, and same thing. And I was still tore up from the first one, so that's kind of my fault. But you can't keep me out of a car. So they re-broke the Cernan ribs again 3 weeks later, and that was really painful.
Quit it, Robbie.
It happens. But my doctor didn't like that. When I come back in there 3 weeks later, he didn't like that at all.
Hey, Robbie. That doesn't just happen, okay? That only happens to you, bro.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you know, we've gotten through it, and you know, we got some awesome guys, man. I mean, my pit crew guys, I've been racing about 5.5 years, and they've been with me for 5.5 years, man. We used to race, you know, a lot of Georgia stuff and all over the place. We've always raced a lot of different places, and that's really how you learn. And it's really, you know, it's hard, though, because we all have, like, jobs where we work a lot, but they still managed to get off and go with me, and you know, and I couldn't help it without them, man. I mean, them guys are tough, man. They're really good, and that's the whole backbone behind it. If you got your stuff together, like last year, we learned a lot. We were awesome last year. You take away a couple of the wrecks I had, I might have won one of them series last year, but
yeah, and spend a little less time in bed.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, it worked out nice, man. It's been awesome, and I hope it continues. I don't want to get in a slump, you know what I mean?
Robbie, how old are you, man?
I was just going to say that.
Well, now that he answered, we all missed it. How old are you?
I'm 37.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you were a young kid.
No, you.
Yeah, hey, don't tell anybody.
I won't. You're from Florida, right?
Yes, sir.
And now you started racing up north. Tell us a little bit about your beginning years there.
No, I was born in Indiana.
Oh, I gotcha.
I've been here, well, since I was an infant, I was here, so I don't know anything like that. But I've been around racing my whole life. When I was in high school, I actually raced modified. And when I got out of high school, I went in the Marine Corps for 6 years. And but when I come back on leave, I go to the races. A lot of my friends, I grew up like with Kevin Durden and Patrick Williams.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Those guys. And I would come home and, you know, I'd go watch them race when I could or whatever. Of course, I wasn't in at a good time. I was gone a lot, so. And then when I got out, I still had a lot of friends that were doing it, and I'd just go watch and kind of help out. And then I made that big mistake one day about 5 or 6 years ago, and I got in one, and I can't get out of one now. And we really race a lot. I mean, my guys are a good line. We go everywhere. I think we raced 9 tracks last year. We're going to end up at like 10 tracks this year. I think we've already been at 8 or 9 this year. We'll end up at 10 this year, I think.
Well, that's a wild bunch. That's a pretty wild bunch. You and Patrick Williams and Kevin Durden. I mean, that's...
Oh, my.
Don't tell anybody that I hang out with them guys.
Yeah, I hear you. That's pretty wild. But so you raced a lot up in like the Bronson area, in Ocala and North Florida?
Yes, sir. I love Bronson. I love Ocala, too, man. Ocala's like a real hard track. People either love it or they hate it. And I was one of them guys. The first time I unloaded there, I won, and I like it. It's weird shape. It's kind of hard to drive, but it's just like it's a challenge. But I like it because you can pass on it. It's not a one-lane track at all. And people tend to make mistakes there, so you can take advantage of that. I really like that track. And I've been racing there a lot. Boston, you know, is only racing like the first half of the year. And ever since I've been in modifieds, I'm in series, so we only go there once or twice a year. I wrecked there. The first time last year, I won at the end of the year last year, and then I won again this year out there. And the other one got, you know, canceled, and they didn't make a date on it, so we never went back there. But I love the little track here. It's 3 miles from my house. You know, I cut my teeth out there. I really like that track a lot, and I like Ocala, too. I mean, I don't – there's been a racetrack I don't like, to be honest with you.
If you can race at Ocala Speedway and do well there, you can go anywhere and race
Yeah.
I think that as a driver, because
I agree with that. I think the second hardest track for me, the hardest track for me is Bradenton, because they run a different tire, and the competition down there is really hard. And I only go down there a couple times a year, and it's hard to go down there. But everywhere else, you know, we've taken to real well. We go to a lot of places. We went to one of the first time we were there, Orlando. I love Orlando. It's like a big Bronson. I love Orlando. We ran there Friday night. I love New Smyrna. I love Lakeland. I just won that Lakeland race about, I guess it's been 5 or 6 weeks ago.
You just love racing, period, man. I can hear the passion.
That's true. I love it.
Robbie, I'll tell you what, Rick Warren's, of course, you know Rick, and he's been covering all the stuff with the various modified series and whatnot. He sent me so many pictures of you to go on our stories, man. It's like, phew. I got a collection of Robbie Cooper pictures, man.
Yeah, Rick has probably made a little bit of money off of
you think?
Yeah, he smiled the other night when I got out in Orlando, and I'm like, yeah, he made him some, because we get them pictures because you never know, you know. But, yeah, he's a good guy. He lives, actually, he only lives a couple miles from here. It's pretty weird. He lives right up the road, and his daughter goes to school with my daughter. So, yeah, I've known Rick my whole life.
Robbie, what do you think can be done? Is there something the drivers can do? Or this was a question that a couple of people asked me today when I told them you were going to be on our show. And we always, you know, maybe you have some insight. What can we do to increase the number of drivers coming out to these modified show? Because to me, and a lot of other people feel this way too, obviously, that when you get a good field of 20, 24 modifieds, that's just a spectacular show. And what's it going to take to get a little more drivers coming out for these shows?
Well, that's a good question, man, and kind of put me on the spot a little bit if some officials are listening. But it's really hard because one series has brought it, they're identical cars, and they brought in a motor rule, you know, which has been going on for 4 or 5 years or more. And then you have, you know, like an unlimited rule, which is originally how the modifieds were set up. But, of course, if you go even back farther, they had claimer motors. So it's all kind of gotten out of hand, to be honest with you. But you can only do so much with an 8-inch tire. So it's not like, you know, these guys show up with an 800-horsepower motor or something. It's not going to do them any good, especially at these little tracks. Now, at the bigger tracks, they do make a little bit of difference. I'm not going to lie about that. We have both, you know, because we learned that real quick. Well, you better get a big motor. You better get a little motor, because when you go somewhere else, it's going to make a big difference.
But you can't run it.
What's that, sir?
Well, I was going to say, you can't run at Lakeland with a little motor.
Well, that's bad for the sport, though. That's the whole thing. That's the whole problem.
I agree with you. I mean, it's hard because the series did a good job this year trying to put them together at the beginning. Originally, we had one series, and they made it you add weight if you had a bigger motor. And then after a couple races, it wasn't working out. You had a lot of guys that were complaining, so they ended up breaking it up again, which it really didn't change much, except you had, you know, 8 races at a little track, and you had 8 races at big track. So it was kind of the same thing it's been going. It used to be called Fast Car and Gulf Coast last year, and it was all combined this year. And then they ended up splitting it back up, calling it Gulf Coast and Fast Car again also. But, well, they call it Extreme Series this year. But it's really hard, to be honest with you. It's really a hard solution because you had your guys that didn't want to go to a big track with a little motor. But, you know, they were going to do good at the little track, so it's really hard to say. I mean, I don't have the answer for it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, you know, it's expensive. I mean, you know, just like anything else, it's like the late model guys. You know, you can go watch 25 late models, and you guys do this every week. You know the 4 or 5 guys that are probably going to be up front. You know, I mean, honestly, anybody can win, but, you know, usually you got 4 or 5 guys. Well, when you get into the Gulf Coast series, honestly, I mean, any of the top 10 guys can win. That's how close it is. It's really, the little motor rule has actually closed it up, you know, where it's really tight. Now, the big motors, there's still, you know, there's 8-10 guys that can win every week, so it's still really hard. The car count's dropped off, you know, I mean, a lot of people this time of year have blown, I know guys that have blown 4 or 5 motors this year, I mean, and that's devastating. That's a lot of money. And
that's right.
A lot of guys that are out on that, and you get towards the end of the year, and they're way out in the points. There's no way they can do any better in the points. So I kind of understand if money's tight that they can't come.
Yep.
It's really hard, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't have the answer. I think that the 2 series is actually pretty cool, because if you take the little motors and you go to the little track, they'll run just as good as the big motors.
Okay, Robbie.
Opinion, and I have both, and I run both, and I'm telling you, when I go and I race, like in Ocala, I race the little motor. I don't race the big motor, and, you know, and the rules are open over there, but I'm more comfortable with the little motor. And that's all I can say. I mean, it's a hard solution to get all of them out there. I mean, we've had nights where we've had 30 cars, and we've had nights where we didn't have 10 cars, you know, and that's, but it's still usually the same guys that are really tough, you know, that show up. So it's still hard, but I can't answer, you know, like the blue-gray race this year, I think we had 40 cars. We had 39 or 40 cars.
That was the best, the most well-attended race as far as the drivers that I'm familiar with this year in Florida, I believe.
That was an awesome race, man. Yeah. And I run second in it, and Wayne Jefferson won it, and he's an awesome guy, man.
Wayne?
Second to me in the point.
What? Wayne Jefferson?
Wayne Jefferson's awesome? An awesome guy?
Really? Wayne probably cheated, Robbie. He probably cheated.
I mean, I'm talking about the competitor.
He had the big motor. He had the big motor, I'll guarantee you.
Yeah, we're kidding. We love Wade, man. But
you're
you
not
know,
kidding.
I was just going to say, man, you just won the Diplomacy Award of the Week with that answer. Because, but I also want to tell you, I mean, at least you're honest and say you covered all the bases and all the points that we all talk about. And it really comes down to, what is the answer? Nobody really seems to know.
I mean, I summed it up when the series come and asked me when, you know, because I run both series, you know, what was the, you know, just they wanted some input. I mean, they're really nice. I mean, they the other night, we didn't have a lot of cars show up. They paid full purse, and he said, hey, man, we're going to stick with this and make this thing work. And I really respected that, man. I mean, they did a good job the other night because we were all kind of worried about it. I'm not going to lie to you. The car count's been getting low, and he said, hey, man, we're going to make this thing work, and I really respected that. They did a good job the other night. But the bottom line is, this is my opinion, because, I mean, I'm a working guy. I don't have no money. I have some great sponsors that help me out, but I mean, we do everything on our own. We work for everything that we got. I mean, we're not a big money guy at all. And the way that I look at it is, some guys are going to use whatever excuse they can not to show up and race, and that's the way I look at it. You had guys that we're not there using the motor rules, that I'm not going to come there because I don't have a motor and stuff and whatever. You know, I'm not going to argue with them. I mean, that's their choice. Hey, I want to race. That's all there is to it. I'm going to race somewhere. The series is the hardest thing to race because the competition level gets raised way up. I mean, you have a lot of guys that only race one track. And when we go to that track, they're hard to outrun.
But, right.
You know, it's hard of us to go be a jack of all trades. You know what I mean? We go everywhere. And we usually run pretty good everywhere. You always got your local guys that are tough where you go. But like I said, there's a lot of guys, in my opinion, that use anything as an excuse. And I kind of think they use some of that as an excuse not to race. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That does kind of make sense. So here we are. Now, let's you're leading the Gulf. You already won the Gulf Coast, right? Is that how this works?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You already won the Gulf Coast Modified Championship for 2007. Have you won the Extreme yet, or you still got...
No, sir. We got two more races.
And where are those races?
I think I've won all of them except for one. I finished second in it. And same thing. There's some guys that can turn that around. I mean, the other night, you know, two real fast guys got in a wreck on the first lap. Hey, man, I'll take luck or whatever it takes to win. You know what I mean? But we've been awesome, too. I mean, you know, we've had some great equipment. You know, when something breaks... And because we went with the cheap stuff, the next time we do whatever it takes to get the good stuff, and we learn from our mistakes. And it's really paid off this year. We have, you know, we've had some good luck. Also, we've dodged some great wrecks. We've got in a couple. You know, we've had some bad stuff happen, but you know, whatever it takes. I mean, it's all come together really nice this year, man.
So
we've been lucky. We've been
so Robbie, where are the two races remaining with the Extreme Modifieds?
We go to Columbia County.
Yep.
Lake City.
Yep.
We go up there. I want to say it's the end of this month in October.
Right.
And then in the beginning of November, we race in New Smyrna.
I gotcha.
I believe it's 100 lap.
Right.
And the Tommy Parker Memorial is the one that's in Lake City. It's a 75-lapper at the end of this month.
Right.
And then I have a couple more races at Ocala. And then on October 20th, I'll be at that $10,000 race in Auburndale. That's going to be a great deal. Well, it's a $5,000 race, but the contingencies, you can win over $10,000.
Yep.
It's a lot like the Cecil Williams Memorial coming up. It's kind of basic, just like that.
I have been hoping. I'm hoping that that puts a bookend on it, and we get the same kind of turnout for that race that we had at the Blue Gray.
I'll tell you right now, if you guys, whatever you're doing October 20th, if you can make it to Auburndale, I'm telling you right now, you're going to see the best of the best around here.
Ain't no doubt.
I know. If everybody that has told me that races in my class is coming, I mean, we're going to have 30-plus cars easy there, and they're going to be the best cars. I mean, it's going to be tough to even make the show. It's going to be just like the Blue Gray race. I'm really thinking it is. I mean, there's a bunch of, even this weekend, because it's the last time they run until then, you know, they run a different tire than I've ever run. I've never run that tire, so I'm going to go down there this weekend. I've never seen the place in my life. I've never been there. So we're going to go down there this weekend. We're going to practice. Going to get a little bit of practice on them tires. And I know a handful of guys that have never been there that are coming this weekend, too. So it's going to be a good little show this weekend, I think.
All right, man. I appreciate you spending some time with us tonight, and I'll tell you, man, that you're absolutely right. The biggest deal in modifieds this year, as far as the rest of the year goes, there's no doubt it's October 20th at Auburndale Speedway.
You know what else happens on that day? I'm supposed to have a baby.
Well, there you go. Bonehead's going to have a baby on the same day.
Physically.
So.
Actually, it's his wife that's going to have
it. Maybe she can have it early so you can be there with us at night.
All right, Robbie.
I'll try to make that happen, sir.
Thanks. Right. Thanks a lot, Robbie. And
thanks for having me, man.
Hey, keep winning. Keep winning.
I appreciate that. I hope so.
All right. Bye, Robbie.
Night, Robbie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
I forgot to tell him what my son's name was going to be.
We'll say it now. He'll hear it.
Robbie.
Cece.
You going to go for a Robbie?
Cece.
Robert Jr., of course.
Cece, okay. Yes. Have you ever seen a full field like a open wheel modifieds?
Full field, no. Yeah.
She's only been a fan for like 2 years, and they haven't had a full field of modifieds in three or four anywhere.
Right. Oh, yes, they. Oh, yes. Well, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Where? Ocala Speedway. That's what we were just talking about. Ocala Speedway at the Blue Gray this year. It was a killer. And I guarantee you there'll be more than 30 modifieds show
How
up at Auburndale Speedway.
How many did we have
Speedway,
at Charlotte this week?
On the 20th. And maybe there eight? Is the late models. I mean, the late models, there's... As far as from the fans' perspective, what you see in the stands, when you get a good field, like, you know, you start getting 18, 20, 22, 24 open-wheel modifieds on a racetrack, it is somewhere between the late models and the TBRA wing sprints, because these guys are riding open wheels, man, and crazy stuff happens.
I agree totally when you talk about a great race to sit and watch, and I could sit down and write down a name, about 25 names of guys that run those things that would be an awesome race to watch. I'd pay money to go see that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. They're out there on the edge just a little bit.
Go ahead, Cece.
Now, I would think that with a full feel of the open wheel modifieds, the way those cars are built with the open wheels, that you could have some
on top of those wheels, and they just keep going.
You have excitement. Yeah, you have excitement. You got it. The class has evolved, as he was talking about. It's evolved from many things. And Jack was asking him, you know, what he thought was the answer. And he answered about like most racers do, is that they're not going to have the answer. They're going to provide a car, and they're going to show up, and they're going to race with a car. And his point is just like with the late models, you know, it's been proven out here at small racetracks, any quarter-mile racetrack, if you have a limited late with a crate motor in it that only turns 6,200 with a chip, a super late model can't beat you necessarily on these quarter-mile tracks. They all run pretty much the same speed. And that's what he's saying about the modifieds, whether they got a big motor in them or a small motor, if they're on a small racetrack, really doesn't matter. But you get on a big half mile or whatever, it tends to make a little bit of a difference. So I don't know if they're ever going to get their stuff straight in those modifieds where weekly shows at tracks where they keep 15 or...
Where it will be a full field.
15 cars would be great on a weekly show. Like if Ocala, every week they had 15 cars there, you know, Robbie would be happy. He wants to race against more people.
We have a very special guest waiting to be heard.
Well, let's go. Let's get to him.
Don Heckman, you on there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Hey, welcome to the show again.
How are you? Thank you for having me again.
Well,
we're keeping you up late, Don?
Excuse me?
I said, are we keeping you up late?
No.
I need to apologize for that. We just got carried away tonight. There was just so much racing news. And yeah, one of the not-so-good...
He's on here behind Evron, you know. He kind of...
He steal the show? Is that what he did?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, he's a hard man to follow, but you don't do too much following of him. I think he does some following of you every now and then, you know, following in right into one of those seats of the cars anyways.
Yeah. He'll do that at any opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I go to the next TBAR race that you're not at, something's really going to be missing.
Well, I might be there. I'm not really planning to just get away from it all. I'm just I'm going to quit as a car owner.
Oh, okay, good.
I have no plans of not going to the races or anything. It's all we've ever done. That's where all our friends are. And we'll continue to go.
Oh, good.
What's wrong with being a car owner? You just had it?
I'm getting up in age, you know, and it just we just decided that it was time to do it. Well, we can do it on our own terms, you know, without anything dictating that we have to quit doing it.
Right.
So you're going to start running around the country with your wife too now, right?
Yeah, we're going to go to Anderson in May.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, he's talking about a little 500.
That's a little 500 race, yes, with Doug.
That's going to be the last one with you two guys together, right?
That'd be the last one.
Well, then what are you going to...
We talked about it, and we figured the only thing, if we did this together, the only way we'll be able to come back is Doug will have to be the owner and I'll have to be driving.
Are you going to crash some cars up? Is that what you're saying?
I've never been accused of being smooth.
Well, that's too bad you're giving up the car owner. I heard he was giving up the driving. I was going to ask you to do the driving, you know, so that's too bad you're giving it up.
Yeah, well, we've been very successful. I'm very pleased with what we've done in the last years of our lives here, you know, as car owners. We've won several TBRA championships and a lot of features. I really don't know how many. I know we've won at 15 different racetracks in the state of Florida.
Wow. Yeah.
So you had almost all of them.
Excuse me?
I was said you've had a great run as a car owner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had a lot of good support with sponsors. I've had quality drivers all through the years. And I've really had a good time and made a lot of friends with it. And I'm very pleased with what we've done. And I'm going to keep going. That's where all my friends are. I really enjoy the racing and all.
There is no way to get out of racing once you're in it anyway, unless you die. It's like the mafia.
Right. You know, it's an addiction, you know.
That's right.
So you just keep going with it.
So you'll just get to enjoy racing more from a fan perspective instead of worrying about having a car and all the expenses and the work.
Right. Absolutely. It's getting very expensive to run one of these cars.
Yes.
Or any car, for that matter. It doesn't matter what class you're in. It's getting very expensive to run them and to travel.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting very expensive. And, you know, I live way south. Costs a lot of money to be running up the road every weekend racing. And it's a lot cheaper without a trailer.
So now you're going to go home and it's going to be like a honeymoon. You're going to get to know your wife and your family.
Well, I've got a brand new car out there right now that I'm putting together for a guy.
Uh-oh.
And I've still got I've still got work to do on sprint cars. That's part of what has made me make his decision is if I work on them all day, I'm not going to work on them all night. So
yeah,
if I work on other people's all day, I'm not going to work on mine all night, you know.
What's your most memorable occasion in your racing career? The thing that really meant the most to you?
Oh, I don't know. You know, every time I win one, I love it.
Yeah.
I guess I think I won three Jim Haynes races, the Memorial races.
Uh-huh.
And they were very important to me because I raced with Jim Haynes years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very important to me. And I'd like to have won a Freely race, and I haven't. And I, of course, you have to have a car there to win, and I didn't have one there Saturday night. But Frank Riller race had been real nice. Or any of them, you know, any of them big races. But I guess the Jim Haynes race, it means more to me than just about anything. And I was fortunate enough to win, like I said, won three of them. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah. Well,
any of them you race, you win, is really fun.
That's right. You remember those a little bit more than the ones you lose.
Oh, absolutely. Or have to carry the car in the trailer.
Yeah.
Had some pretty bad close calls.
Excuse me?
I said if you had some pretty bad close calls, bad wrecks.
Well, I mean, I haven't drove one in a while, but my car's been in some pretty bad wrecks. Yeah.
Yeah, see, he can't remember those, Carol. He only remembers the wins. He tries to forget about those.
You block out the bad stuff.
Well, you know, I hate to cut short here. You know, we took some time to get to you. We're trying to get through this show. Actually, this show ended at 9 o'clock, and what time is it? It's 9:30.
Well, Don, I don't know about the rest of it, but I've known you for a lot of years, and there's no way I could let you go without wishing you the best of everything, and hope to God I see you on the tracks again.
Yeah, and happy birthday.
He just escaped from an insane asylum. Don't pay attention to him.
Well, you know, it's just a joke.
Well, thank you.
Yes,
no,
see?
Not you, Rob.
See, it could have been his birthday. I could have hit it on the nose. He could have said, how'd you know? You know, you just never know. You throw that out there. No, Don, it was great hearing from you, and I hope you guys have good luck and win that little 500. That'll be something else
gonna,
if you guys win it.
We're giving every effort. We're going up there and try to give it every effort we can to win that thing, and we're going up there and we're going to have a good time and take what it deals us and go on from there.
Well, know that there'll be some Floridians here pulling for you.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
Yep.
Don Heckman, thank you so much for all the years. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight, and God bless you and keep you safe, whatever you do.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, all right. Don.
Take it easy, Don.
Good night.
Bye, Don.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it.
I can't remember not seeing Don Heckman with his little braided ponytail.
Well, I hope those guys go up there and win that race. That'd be really nice if they can win that little 500.
It really would. Bring it home.
That'd be something for them to end their racing relationship and racing times with a big win. Like the little 500 would just cap off a great 30-year career.
We're getting ready to talk pretty
little 500, you know. I'm amazed.
How rude.
What do you mean how rude?
That's okay. Go ahead.
You're amazed at what? She's rude.
Well, no, wait a minute. No, I wanna, no, I'm curious. What do you mean rude? What's
Rick,
rude?
Rick Rude. Rick Rude.
Rick Rude.
Remember him? Rick Rude?
CeCe.
Yeah.
Now listen. You work for the god of radio. You work for the gods of radio, okay?
Yeah.
She works for the god of radio servants, okay?
is
from the god to the what?
Is there some rule in radio?
There's a lot of rules in radio.
Yeah,
FCC. FCC makes them. We don't have to abide by them. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
What he's trying to say is it's not rude for him to interrupt me when I'm in the middle of a sentence. I know where this is going.
I want you guys
to
do.
Well, you know what? Basically, in professional talk radio, is they do train you that you're not supposed to step on each other. You're supposed to give each other space to finish, so everybody who's listening can hear everything that's being said.
Now, liberals.
Sometimes that does not happen, and sometimes we get carried away and we're having fun, and we don't do that because we all have a lot of stuff we want to interject. But
whose rule is that? Who made that rule?
What?
They don't do that on MSNBC.
Nah, they step all over each other.
Okay, I know, but we're not supposed to.
We don't own this radio station, so we kind of have to put up with
Al Gore owns it.
There's one of us.
Al Gore owns it. Very good.
Okay, listen, I've got a baby in the oven, okay? We need to talk to Gary LaPlante. Where is he?
Yes, we need to.
Bonehead, you're not supposed to put the babies in the oven.
Baby's cooking.
You can get in a lot of trouble for that.
Yeah.
Where's Mr. Gary LaPlante? Let's get this done.
Let's get our next guest up.
Hatfields and McCoys.
Gary LaPlante started this.
Turn your mic on there, goofball.
Outlaw Street Stock Series, right? That's what it is?
Is he on the phone or is he talking on the microphone?
He started this, what?
He's on the microphone, but he doesn't know he's not on it.
So are we going to talk about the Hatfield McCoys, the big race coming up this Saturday night?
Yes. That is. Hey, Gary, welcome to the show.
Welcome to be aboard. How y'all doing down there this evening?
We're doing good, and we're running late, so make sure you get all the information about the Hatfields and McCoys in.
I definitely will. The first thing I want to say is I got to address Bonehead. It takes a real good man to apologize on national radio. Apologize what goes on in a racetrack. I'm proud of you as an owner of a series and another driver. That's a class act right there. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that, Gary. Even though I think somebody needs to apologize to me.
Gary, it wasn't that hard for him because once we put the gun to his head, He really had no choice.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have to go into that, you know.
We made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Actually, with Rob, you can just get him to do about anything if you put a cake that Carol makes in front of him.
Hey, now, Gary's been here before. He's been in studio, so he knows all about the fixings.
Yeah.
We feed him well, don't we, Gary?
Yes, sure do.
So, Gary, did you get the trailer lettered up with the Inside Florida Racing on there?
We're working on a brand new trailer. When we come to Charlotte County this next week, we're coming down with a 48-foot enclosed trailer. Three or four race cars in it, all lettered up. So,
wow.
Well, before everybody goes to sleep, please tell us about the Hatfields and McCoys, because I want to hear it too.
Well, we got coming up this Saturday at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, a 50-lap race. It's a challenge race that we've been building up to the last couple of months. It's a Hatfield and McCoys race. The Outlaw Street Stocks taking on the Thunderstrucks of Charlotte County. We're probably somewhere between 20 to 25 vehicles out on the racetrack.
Wow.
We're going to qualify the trucks, and we're going to qualify the cars, and put them in the feature race for 50 laps.
Who do you think's going to come out to be the victor of this thing? Let's talk about it, Gary. Who do you think's going to be the winner, a truck or a car?
I think there's a couple fast trucks down there. I think it's going to be pretty compatible. I think probably in the top five, probably we're going to have a mixed field between the trucks and the cars.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if a truck could win it.
CeCe, who do you think's going to win?
Randy Kyle.
Oh, who this. Nobody else at Charlotte County races except Randy Kyle.
Oh, no, wait a minute. What's his name, Price? Terry?
Terry Price.
Is Terry Price in this race?
I don't think he's got a Thunder truck.
Oh.
No, he doesn't.
That's a damn shame there.
He may borrow one, but...
Yeah.
Why don't you let him drive one of your cars, Gary?
He's doing a new, from my understanding, new speed stocks to join the series. I don't know if he's going to have it ready for this race or not.
Is Mike Bialaki racing in it?
Who?
Mike Bialaki in the 8 truck?
I believe he is. I don't have the exact numbers of which truck is running. Last time I was down in Charlotte County, I do guarantee of 8. There was 3-4 more that was thinking about joining it. So.
Well, if the Thunder trucks are involved and if Randy's racing, you know Mike's going to be racing.
Yeah.
There's a good possibility, yes.
Well, I think it's a great idea for you to do this. Now, let's talk about the posted awards that are coming.
What?
Let's talk about the posted awards. What are you paying these drivers?
Be 500 to win over 20 vehicles on the track, and that's where we've been paying for the last couple races down at Charlotte County.
Any extra money in there for anybody?
On this one, no.
Okay.
On the next coming events, we're looking at maybe raising the purse up next year. All of us have talked about it.
Who's the Hatfields?
The Hatfields are the street stock.
Who's the McCoys?
It would probably be the trucks.
The trucks.
Well, I was just seeing if he was paying attention, Carol. I know you're paying attention. I was just checking Gary out.
And then we've signed the Outlaw Street Stocks. We're going to be heading forward to DeSoto. We've got a date set up there for October 13th and 11-10 so far for the rest of the year. Then we go back and forth to Charlotte County.
You're going to John's house?
Yep, we're going there on the 13th. Then we're back at Charlotte County on the 19th. Back at Charlotte County on 11-3.
Charlotte.
Back to DeSoto on 11-10. Back at Charlotte County on the 17th of November and Charlotte County on 12-15.
Gary, let's talk about the sponsors of the Outlaw Street Stocks. Who's the big sponsor?
Florida Suncoast Van Lines is the big sponsor. Then we have Keels and Wheels, Carnac. We have Motel 6 that... sponsors the stump.
Do they keep the light on for you?
They keep the light on for us. They treat us very well down there at Charlotte County. Very well.
All right. You're one of their best customers.
I'll tell you what. He's done a wonderful job with the series, too. I'm sorry. Something's crackling.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I think Gary does do a great job with his
series. You work so hard, and I think you've done a terrific job with that series.
I'm going to say something that people really don't realize about Gary LaPlante and about this Outlaw Street Stock series. Even there at Charlotte County, people that go there every week don't realize what Gary's done for the racing at that racetrack, mm-hmm. what he's done to try to promote drivers, and not only his own class, But heck, Gary puts up money for to get a better microphones because Lord knows they got problems there. He puts up money to put a tent up for drivers to be able to have an autograph session where people fans can come down and see them. And I think that you know, not enough of that goes on, and that kind of stuff's important to Gary, and that's important to me.
And I think it's important to the fans, especially to have that the autograph tent to have that time to go up and talk to their favorite drivers and get the autographs and pictures.
Yes, and I think that the track, and maybe they're listening, I'm sure, you know, Linda's listening out there, maybe they need to take more advantage of that and make it more a part of the night, you know, and get all the drivers down there.
Well, they do, and they announce when the drivers are going to be there in the different classes so the kids and everybody can go over there.
Gary, this is your first year with this the Outlaw Street Stocks. I mean, it seems like a long time ago when we first started talking about this deal. Has it met your expectations, or how do you feel about how it's gone so far this year with this deal?
I have felt that it's done very well. It's actually done a whole lot better than what I expected it to do. But I want to thank Bobby Deal for giving me the opportunity for running down there and help. And you know, giving us the dates and help promote it along with me and working the deal together. And I look for Bobby and I to sign you know, twice a month next year for Charlotte County and get some dates on the board for next year. And I already know that there's 5-6 cars already being built. And I was in Bradenton last weekend and we passed out a bunch of brochures and rules that guys are interested in running for next year. So.
I think racing in general is going to be better in the South next year with John and Bobby working together with the tracks and having these races, you know, spread out. I think it's going to be a great thing for all the little series that are around.
I do, too.
Well, that's actually what the track owners need to do. In other words, you know, I see a lot of things. You know, there's some dates that there's some street stocks races coming up that's on the same dates I've had, and a couple people call me, and I just said, you know, my series, I'm not worried about the car count. I've had the same drivers more or less from the beginning. They're at every race, and I'm not going to cancel one of my races because you're going to set a date on it. You know, so that's but we all need to work together and not double book on it. I see a lot of that going on in the racing, and it shouldn't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's been happening forever.
Well, Gary, we're getting real late here. We're about 45 minutes late. We wanted to make sure we got you on and let you explain what's going on next
that's
week.
Very cool, man.
Thank you so much for all you do for racing.
And fans and drivers, if you want to see a fantastic race, come see the Hatfields and McCoys this week at Charlotte County Motorsports.
Thank you so much, Gary. Did you want to say something?
No, I was going to say, I'm going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it, Gary.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Have a good night.
Take it easy.
Thanks, Gary. Bye-bye.
Gary LaPlante there with the Outlaw Street Stocks. He's definitely
making
it.
Flown by tonight.
Yes, we're almost spent 3 hours here tonight, almost.
With some really awesome guests.
You can find out more about his series, by the way, if you go to the front page of Karnak and look for the Suncoast Outlaw Street Stock little item there. You click on it and it goes to his website. It's got a schedule and all the rules and all that good stuff.
Don't forget about the Suncoast Outlaw Van Lines.
The landmines.
Landmines.
Sorry, Gary, when you said that, Jack turned around and he goes, did he say landmines?
Tomorrow night on Real Racing USA Live, 7 to 9 p.m., Whelen Modifieds, the winner of the Martinsville Bailey's 300, Martinsville Speedway, Bailey's 300. Born to Ride TV, Ron Galletti. Ken Kenny's going to tell us all about the new Dirt Late Model Series for Florida.
Yeah.
I would like to thank Cece for coming back and helping us with the show again.
My pleasure. I always have so much fun. Thank
you. We have fun listening to you.
Don't forget to listen to The House Doctor if you're in Charlotte County or, let's see, how far does it go? To go to South Sarasota.
Fort Myers.
Listen to The House Doctor tomorrow at 11:05. You'll get to hear me and Cece again talk
WCCF
about
WCCF 1580.
Also, if you think of anybody that you really want to have on the show, somebody that you find extremely interesting, email Jack at Karnak@comcast.net.
Jack the Karnakian.
That will Carol. That will get bleeped.
You're bleeping me?
No,
yeah, it's feedback at realracingusa.com.
I'm sorry. Feedback at realracingusa.com.
And there's no G in there, is it? It's racing.
Racing.
Yeah.
R-A-C-I-N.
Very good.
Or you could call us at Come on, Jack. You're all mouth tonight. Give
them
the number.
What do you want?
I want the phone number where they can call us.
Not
tonight.
941-426-6760.
Yeah, go ahead. Call us right now. You'll be talking to yourself. Folks, I had a great time tonight.
Good night, everybody.
It's good to be
Thank
back.
Thank you for tuning in.
Inside night, Florida everyone. Racing. We'll see you next week. Maybe.
If you're lucky.
Bye, y'all.
We're gonna do the St. Pete Boogie and have some fun, you all. We're gonna do the St. Pete Boogie, have some fun, you all. Go down on Central Avenue, drink some alcohol. When you do the St. Pete Boogie, you're really gonna have to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey Lord, can't you hear me call? Gonna do